using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 1st of November, year of our Lord 2021, day 595 of America Held Hostage. Well, today we're going to take a look at some very big protests in Australia. And based on the reactions of the police, things may be turning there. We'll have to see, but we'll take a look at what happened over this last weekend as we see more flyers are hanging tough in the American Air Force. More than 12,000 people are going to be kicked out based on these mandates. Police, firefighters, trash, water, hospitals, ambulances, every kind of job. Not just those, every kind of job. Joe Biden wants to be remembered as Nero. We'll be right back. Stay with us. As a matter of fact, as we're looking at this, pretty much this is happening in every country, of course, except for, interestingly enough, Romania. In Romania, they know vampires, blood-sucking vampires when they see them. And isn't this amazing? Because this vexation, this Trump juice, is something that attacks your blood. It's not an exaggeration to call these people vampires. But let's take a look at a statement that was made in the European Parliament. We had a couple of different statements, as a matter of fact. Very concerned about what they have now seen. And I want to play this for you as you have one member of the European Parliament saying, this was hidden from even us. He said we had to fight them for these documents, and look what we got. We got this back. And you can see he holds up the pages, and they are completely blacked out. Redacted the contracts that they had with these companies. And I've talked about this for quite some time. Going back to February this year, we had the first indications that Pfizer was blackmailing countries in Latin America. Two of the three of them, Argentina and Brazil, spoke out about it. Nobody carried it much. It was carried by the big pharmaceutical trade publication, Stat News, and it was found out by a UK investigatory journalism organization. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was carried by Stat News. And now we've had even more documents come out to show this was happening in Europe as well. And so that's probably why you had this press conference. And we've got a couple of statements from European representatives coming up here. And then we're going to take a look at what happened with the definition of a vaccine. Did you realize that before the pandemic was announced back in December of 2019, they were quietly preparing for Moderna to get legal immunity? This thing has Fauci's fingerprints all over it. So we're going to talk about that. Excellent story from LifeSite News. But first, this member of the European Parliament talking about how this has been redacted.
Were you properly informed about what is going on? Because we had a lot of debates at the beginning of this year in the Parliament where we demanded full access to the contracts signed between these companies that produce the vaccines and the European Union. And I quote from an article in Euroactive, who says the following, it's an article from January 22nd, 2021, that says the following. The contract signed between pharmaceutical company and the European Commission in November of 2020 was made available to MEPS on Tuesday in a redacted format, after the company agreed to open the contract up to scrutiny. Say what? So you're imposing a medical product on the European citizens without them knowing what's in these contracts? Not only them knowing, but us, we don't know. So after a lot of pressure in the parliament, as the article says, these contracts were disclosed to us and to the public. And I want to show you some of those pages. And you tell me if this is okay for the European citizens to be exposed to this situation where they cannot come to work, they cannot enter a store, they cannot go with their kids to schools, where they cannot freely move from one country to another, unless in one situation he's vaccinated with one of these products. So these are the contracts that were disclosed by the commission with the approval of the company. This is unheard of. And I will just show you the pages.
Now, if you can't see this, he's holding up one page after the other, all of them blacked out, and you can see a little bit of white in between the paragraphs.
So this is the fundamental principle, right, of democracy. I'm asking you guys, is this transparency? Do you see anything? Because we don't.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, they keep it completely hidden from us, don't they? Now, here's something else that they've kept hidden from us. Another conspiracy in Congress with the bureaucracy. LifeSite News, Congress made crucial change to the vaccine definition weeks before COVID-19. And they said, with a quiet change to federal law, just before the onset of COVID-19, the experimental mRNA COVID jabs may never have been labeled as vaccines. We've been saying all along they're not vaccines, and they aren't. A vaccine exposes you to a dead or weakened pathogen in order to train your immune system. What these genetic code injections do is they hack your DNA, your mRNA system, and they have you manufacture not a dead or weakened pathogen, but a very active pathogen, the protein spikes. So your body is hacked in order to manufacture those, with the idea that that's going to be the thing that your body keys off of to set up antibodies, except that it doesn't work. But it does make you very sick. It does kill a lot of people, cripple a lot of people. It does destroy the blood. So it's not a vaccine by any definition. As a matter of fact, it was explicitly, in the definition of a vaccine, it was explicitly eliminated until they changed it in December 2019, even before Trump began his warp speed moves. Now, what happened? In December of 2019, before the reported outbreak of COVID-19, it's not even a thing yet, right? They haven't even panicked anybody from China yet. And what are they doing? They're quietly laying the groundwork to call this Moderna genetic code injection a vaccine. Oh, I wonder who could have been involved with that. Well, I think it's pretty obvious if you look at what happened. The U.S. federal government signed a contract with one COVID-19 vaccine maker, Moderna, which stated mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates are developed and jointly owned by both Moderna and the U.S. federal government. And we have employees at the NIH who are making money off of these contracts. So, and also in December of 2019, the federal government changed the definition of, quote, biological product, unquote, and federal laws governing vaccine labeling, emergency use authorization, and FDA approval. See, they made a little subtle change, or none of this would have been allowed. Not emergency use authorization, not approval, and not the protected legal liability that the vaccines get, which was put in, by the way, by Fauci. And when you look at the fact that Fauci got maneuvered Slowey into being the vaccine czar, remember, Fauci and Slowey had cooperated before, back in 2009, with the H1N1 swine flu, and they'd created a vaccine. They'd rushed it to market, Pandemrix. Prior to this, the most easily correlated, damaging vaccine. Why? Because it only took a year for this to show up in children. And it wasn't in America that they made that connection. It was in Scandinavia. But now we're told, even as people are dying of heart attacks 6 months later, oh, this can't possibly be the vaccine. It took too long. But then, of course, if somebody dies immediately, within 48 hours, well, they weren't vaccinated. By our definition, this is not a vaccinated death. You're not fully vaccinated, or you're not vaccinated until 2 weeks after your injection. So if they die within 2 days, they weren't vaccinated. They didn't die from the vaccine, right? So vaccine labeling, the liability, the emergency use authorization, the approval, all of that was limited to biological products. And in the definition for biological products, it specifically excluded any chemically synthesized polypeptide. And it's amended. And when they amended this, and this is what LifeSite News found, excellent find here. Section 605 that was put in there in December of 2019, it says the Public Service Health Act is amended by striking any chemically synthesized polypeptide exclusion. So that exclusion would have kept them from getting emergency use authorization, from getting approval, and from getting liability protection. And they struck that in December of 2019, specifically for the mRNA vaccines. Without the December 2019 change to the U.S. law defining biological product, the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines may have been required to be labeled as something other than a vaccine, because it is something other than a vaccine. The U.S. federal government's definition of biological product, used up until a few weeks before the reported outbreak of COVID-19, would have prohibited these mRNA products from being labeled as vaccines. And it probably would be much more difficult for the government and/or employers, to mandate receiving the mRNA substances labeled as drugs or as other non-vaccine products, guilt-tripping physicians, nurses, and others into receiving and supporting mRNA substances with the potential false accusations of being an anti-vaxxer will also have been out of the question if it was not labeled as a vaccine. But key to all of this, this is why I say it has Fauci's fingerprints all over it, because remember, it was in 1986 that Fauci engineered legal immunity for the vaccine companies to make sure they were not responsible for the products that they created. And then that legal immunity was stretched to the breaking point as Pfizer went around the world blackmailing countries one after the other that you're going to be completely isolated from anybody traveling into or out of your country unless you sign over additional liability to us, not just a liability from a poorly designed and tested product, but even liability for a poorly manufactured product. You know, like if you put contaminants in it or something. No, nothing. They'll be held responsible for nothing. And when you look at what was happening, again, like I said, Fauci and Slawy had been joined at the hip since 2009, they've been going around doing dog and pony shows, talking about vaccines and electroceuticals since well before that. And put that other vaccine program together in 2009. But Fauci has been joined at the hip to the pharmaceutical vaccine industry since 1986. And what he always does is work behind the scenes to provide the legal immunity for these people, the legal enabling of what they want to do. I just have to say, this is the smoking gun that this was a planned pandemic. Absolutely the smoking gun. And it's another indication that you're not going to get any help from Washington, D.C. And that includes the GOP. We know where the Democrats are. You better figure out where the Republicans are on this. They're not your allies. They're not your friends. So you have, interestingly enough, when you look at the players behind all of this, you know, Scott Gottlieb went to Pfizer, and the way I read this is this thing looks like it was designed specifically for Moderna from the very beginning. Fauci and Slawy, again, working together very closely for over a decade, actually working together longer than that. Moderna, if you remember, their company was specifically created to to do products based on mRNA technology. That's messenger RNA, or mode RNA is what it's called in the medical profession. And the original Moderna was originally pronounced as mode RNA, mode RNA, and then they changed it to Moderna. For 10 years, they'd never been able to get a product even remotely approved because they were so ineffective and so dangerous. And so Moncef Slaoui, close friend of Fauci, I think they hatched this idea to call it a vaccine. And as I look at this, I think that was the inside track. You know, Fauci was laying the foundation for Slaoui to be the czar of Operation Warp Speed. But, you know, Pfizer's a very big company, and I think they got wind of this. You know, Scott Gottlieb, who was the FDA director up until April of 2019, Scott Gottlieb is now at Pfizer. You see him all the time as a talking head, you know, just like you've got Brennan and Clapper and Hayden, you know, the people in the CIA, they're now... They're now commentators on a regular basis. You now see Scott Gottlieb as a regular commentator on all this vaccine stuff. And so he was there until April of 2019. He was replaced by Hahn at the FDA. Now, Hahn is working at Moderna right now. But the way I read this is that Moderna, a company that was very inexperienced, had operated for 10 years without a single product, had never gotten anything to market. They had had one happy story after the other that they floated on Wall Street in order to make money. And I think they were on the inside track. I think Pfizer got wind of it, and I think Pfizer was able to beat them to the punch. That's just my suspicions, but I absolutely know that this is Fauci. Fauci and Slaoui and Moderna from the very beginning. I'll bet my life on it. So without getting technical, they say it should be noted, again, going back to the LifeSite News article, it should be noted that COVID-19 mRNA vaccines are the first products which use the technique of synthetic or chemically synthesized mRNA to be given emergency use authorization by the FDA. After being injected into humans, the chemically synthesized mRNA COVID-19 vaccines synthesize or produce a protein similar to the spike that they say is on the COVID, the coronavirus, although what do we really know about that? We also have the admission from the FDA that with their PCR tests, they have 59 different tests. They cannot be evaluated against each other because they're all testing for something different. There is no isolated standard COVID-19 virus. Anyway, these proteins contain one or more polypeptides. Thus, the synthesis of the S protein is also described as a polypeptide synthesis, and that was exactly what would exclude these mRNA vaccines from Moderna and from Pfizer. It would exclude them, and also the others, as a matter of fact. The difference between these and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is simply the means of delivery as opposed to encapsulating it into a nanoparticle that is covered with polyethylene glycol, PEG. They piggyback it onto an adenovirus in the Johnson & Johnson approach and the AstraZeneca approach. But all four of them are modifying your body to create this toxic poison. So going back to the article, here's the skullduggery of how you get things pushed through in Congress while the Republicans are busy holding hearings to criticize the Democrats over political issues. On page 595 of a 716-page law that was going to appropriate federal funding, they put the change in that says, oh, and by the way, while we're funding the government, we want to strike out this thing that would exclude mRNA vaccines, mRNA products as being a vaccine. And if any Republican or staffer had looked at that, they probably wouldn't even know what an mRNA vaccine is. And they didn't mention it specifically by name. What they did was they removed the exclusion of something that synthesized a polypeptide. A chemically synthesized polypeptide. It wasn't even labeled as mRNA. This is why it's taken so long to make the connection. So they essentially call an mRNA vaccine, a vaccine, and they do it on page 595 of a 716-page law. And in it, they don't even label it as mRNA. Called a chemically synthesized polypeptide. Pretty clever, isn't it? Yeah, pretty clever. So the timing of the change, before COVID was announced, in China even, in December of 2019, they buried the change on page 595 of a federal funding act. And so LifeSite News, very cautious, they say this may suggest the possibility that COVID may have been a falsified pandemic exercise. It was. It was. I'm not going to beat around the bush. And I understand. I mean, but, you know, they're getting censored anyway. Just call it what it is. I mean, you know, you can't beat around the bush with this stuff. We don't have enough time. But I think people can read between the lines and they can understand. They'll lay this out very clearly. And they did excellent research. I don't want to criticize them. I just say, you know, we've got to stop censoring ourselves. I understand the need for caution. I try to be cautious with what I say as well. I'm not interested in being the first. I don't want to add false details to what is true because that will be used to discredit the truth. People who want to be first are going to do that. And they're going to discredit the truth so they can get views. And so they'll, you know, certain people, some that I've known very closely, will throw everything against the wall and just see what sticks. Sometimes it sticks in a lawsuit when it bounces back. Anyway, it's also worth repeating that the U.S. federal government partially owns the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. And soon before their imposition onto Americans, the U.S. federal government seemingly ensured that the mRNA vaccines would be legal. Do you understand that? See, Fauci and the people at the NIH and the people at the CDC, they're making money, personally making money, and these institutions are making money off of selling the vaccines. They have a clear conflict of interest, in other words. And then they are subtly and secretly changing the rules. And then you see what's happened in Europe. We know, and he knows why those papers were redacted that way, because some of those documents have been leaked, showing they were playing the same games in terms of blackmailing European countries that they were doing in Latin America and in other countries. So it's very clear, as they write here, the federal government, public health officials, and politicians were preparing for this by attempting to legally protect themselves with several significant changes to laws, to strategies, and plans governing and regulating public health emerging threats, pandemics, vaccines, related subjects. As a matter of fact, they had trained for it on an annual basis for 20 years, going back to Dark Winter, just 2 months before 9/11. Those two go hand in hand. As I pointed out last week, I said, if you want to know about the pandemic, you look at Dark Winter and you look at at 9/11. And they have used they're also teaming up with the pandemic and the regulations. They've teamed that up with the climate change agenda. And so, interestingly enough, this second shoe to drop from 9/11 is now teamed and paired with the regulations, Homeland Security, and the surveillance state, the police state that came out of all of that. So this is one aspect of that. The other aspect of it is the Great Reset, which they had always teamed up with climate lockdown. That's why this is the issue of our lifetime, this pandemic. So I want to play one more member of the European Parliament, and I apologize. I wrote down their names, and I misplaced that piece of paper. So I can't tell you who these two are, but you'll see these clips in a lot of different places. And it's not so important as to who they are, but what they say. And I want you to hear what this other member of the European Parliament had to say about this.
But it is not the goal that renders a system oppressive. It is always the methods by which the goal is pursued. Whenever a government claims to have the people's interest at heart, you need to think again. In the entire history of mankind, there has never been a political elite sincerely concerned about the well-being of regular people. What makes any of us think that it is different now? If the Age of Enlightenment has brought forth anything, then certainly this. Never take anything any government tells you at face value. Always question everything any government does or does not do. Always look for ulterior motives and always ask, cui bono, who benefits? Whenever a political elite pushes an agenda this hard and resorts to extortion and manipulation to get their way, you can almost always be sure your benefit is definitely not what they had at heart. As far as I'm concerned, I will not be vaccinated with anything that has not been properly vetted and tested and has shown no sound scientific evidence that the benefits outweigh the disease itself and possible long-term side effects, which to this day we don't know anything about. I will not be reduced to a mere guinea pig by getting vaccinated with an experimental drug. And I will most assuredly not get vaccinated because my government tells me to and promises in return I will be granted freedom. Let's be clear about one thing. No one grants me freedom, for I am a free person. So I dare the European Commission and the German government. Throw me in jail, lock me up and throw away the key for all I care. But you will never be able to coerce me into being vaccinated if I, the free citizen that I am, choose not to be vaccinated.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah, as I have pinned to the top of my social media accounts, going back to Biden's executive press release, some of it an executive order, much of it just a press release. I said, I don't need an exemption. You need to show me the authority for your orders. I will not beg or grovel. And as she's pointing out, just because the government wants to use you as a guinea pig for this, you should not fall for that. Look, it's Trump who got rid of the testing, who is still bragging about getting rid of the testing. Trump is not the great American hope. Trump is the person that wants to use you and your children as guinea pigs for his big pharma crony capitalist, his friends who murder people with drugs. He is allied with Fauci. That's why he didn't fire Fauci. He's allied with him. He's done everything that Fauci told him to do, everything, without exception. And so you have to ask, who benefits from this kind of manipulation? You have to ask, how did Trump benefit from any of this? It made no sense. So why do you do it? There's something that you're not seeing that will eventually come out about Donald Trump and the people who have supported him through all of this. It's extortion. It's manipulation. These are non-vaccines that they changed the definition of a vaccine just before this came out, buried in a spending bill. This whole thing is a fraud. We'll be right back. Stay with us. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Looking for better information? APSRadioNews.com features articles and commentary, along with audio from all the top news from around the world. APSRadioNews.com.
All right. Millions of Americans are getting fired for not taking a jab that is now 3% effective, for not taking a product that is not a vaccine. We have Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine protection, as I reported on Friday. As it was reported by CNN, said it has dropped down to 3%. Said, yeah, we'd assumed that it was 88%. But now, after doing a study of 600,000 veterans, they see it as 3%. So, and they were telling everybody in March that it was 88%. But now after they look at this, well, it looks more like 3%. But take it or lose your job. Take it or no health care for you either. So we have now pivoted, as you look at Johnson & Johnson, they have pivoted from pushing an opioid epidemic for profit. How are these people not in jail, right? I mean, that is absolutely amazing to me, that not only did the Trump administration not put them in jail, but they negotiated with them, unlike El Chapo, the Sinaloa drug cartel. No, they just went in and took all of his stuff. So they negotiated with him, got a little bit of stuff, and then after they got finished, you had the state attorneys general who, the group of them who looked at this and said, you know, we left a lot of money on the table. They have more money than we thought. It's like, yeah, you don't treat them like you do a dangerous street drug pusher, but that's exactly what they are. So they've moved from the opioid epidemic now to the genetic code injection epidemic. Johnson & Johnson, which was never a vaccine company. They worked with or bought up Janssen, which did produce vaccines, and Trump helped them to pivot from something that they could have and should have gone to jail, something that they could have and should have lost every single one of their assets if they're going to apply the rules of the war on drugs. They deliberately got people addicted to this. And, you know, I've said many times, this opioid epidemic, I think, is even more reprehensible than what is happening with the Sinaloa cartel. Those people are out there offering unsuspecting people, essentially, that they take these drugs for recreational use. But that's their choice, and they know that they're taking this. They know that it's highly addictive. But the opioid epidemic caught people in its trap that were injured, and this was prescribed for them by their doctor as a treatment. They weren't looking for some kind of a recreational high. And Johnson & Johnson and Purdue Pharmaceutical and the Sackler family, they were knowingly getting people hooked on this stuff for money. And it's just unconscionable to me that they would be allowed to pivot and to not only get away with that, but then to become a vaccine provider so they can now have a business that has complete legal immunity. And so it's now 3% effective, as we're told. And again, to repeat last week, we had, as they're looking at extending the reach of these vaccines, the committee that was looking at it for the FDA, Patrick Moore, who works at the University of Pittsburgh, as they're looking for the committee looking to see whether they're going to use this on kids. By the way, it's the University of Pittsburgh, the FDA, the NIH, and Planned Parenthood who were doing the most recent, and I would say the most heinous experiments on aborted babies, aborted alive, dissected alive for organs. It was the University of Pittsburgh. Perhaps this guy was part of it because he is a professor of molecular genetics and biochemistry. I wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Moore, who has been picked for the FDA panel, is one of the partners in this heinous murder of babies that's ongoing right now. This is not just something that happened back in 1963. And he said it's more of a gut feeling than being really, really, truly, seriously based on data. Well, I just have to say, when I look at what these people at the University of Pittsburgh and the FDA, NIH, Planned Parenthood are doing, I say, when I look at that, it gives me a gut feeling, a very sickening gut feeling. It makes me want to vomit. So the FDA has also endorsed, of course, mixing and matching these vaccines for boosters. You now got some companies that are starting to require boosters as part of their definition of fully vaccinated. It will never end if you keep going down this road. Trump's Supreme Court has now denied religious exemptions to mandatory COVID-19 shots to the Maine health care workers who brought this case before them. 6-3, they shut it down. And of that majority, you had both Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Barrett, who said, we don't really care about religious liberty. I called Barrett as a fraud when she was having the hearings, simply because of what she had to say about Roe v. Wade. Everybody was saying, oh, she's a very strong Christian and yada, yada, yada. But you listen to what she had to say. They asked her about Roe v. Wade. Oh, it's the law of the land. Okay, stop right there. I know that's a mantra that they all have to repeat, but it also showed that she had no true convictions, as was portrayed by the press. And when you look at what is truly behind that, she said, well, there might be some changes around the periphery of this, but not to Roe v. Wade. So she was doing more than just repeating the mantra, it is the law of the land. The Marbury versus Madison was where the Supreme Court gave itself the power. They usurped the power to stand in judgment of any and all laws or anything else to see whether or not it jived with the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson said, that's it. We've lost the Constitution when they did that. But Roe v. Wade is very important to them in the sense that they continue to say that it is the law of the land. And as we allow things like Roe v. Wade to stand, it is important to them, not just from the standpoint of abortion, but from the standpoint of where they established their authority to create law, not even to review law for its constitutionality. And that's why when Barrett said that, I said, that's where her loyalty is. Her loyalty is to the institution and not to the Constitution. And she will reject her so-called strong religious beliefs. For the first time this week, all nine justices of the Supreme Court participated in an emergency hearing to stop vaccine mandates. The case was a religious exemption case for Maine healthcare workers who were given until this last Friday to comply with COVID vaccine mandates as a condition for employment. Liberty Counsel represented about 2,000 healthcare workers in Maine who claimed they were denied filing religious exemptions to the mandate, while medical exemptions were allowed. And that's the thing. Both should be allowed. As a matter of fact, there is absolutely, again, there's no justification. I talk a great deal about religious exemptions because there are so many laws as well as the Constitution that support that. So it's a much easier case to prove. But there is not any justification for the government to force you to take a vaccine. None whatsoever. And you can go back and point to the Supreme Court case at the beginning of the 20th century about smallpox. They did not force them to get vaccinated. They forced them to pay a fine for not being vaccinated. And they were wrong to do that. I can give you a long list of wrong Supreme Court decisions. And I can also give you a long list of the Supreme Court reversing itself. In many cases, the same court reversing itself, let alone an earlier court opinion. So that's not the law of the land. The Supreme Court rejected the Maine healthcare workers' claim in a 6-3 decision with Kavanaugh and Barrett joining the liberals. The three dissenting justices were Gorsuch, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito. So Gorsuch is starting to look better in terms of some of his decisions lately. And I have to say that if one out of the three judges that Trump put in supports the Constitution. That's about par for the course of what we've seen from GOP appointments going back to Ronald Reagan. It's one of the reasons why we should not be putting so much trust in the Supreme Court to defend the Constitution. It's never going to happen. They only pick from a pool of people who are already establishment. So it is going to be very, very, you're always going to get, when the Democrats appoint somebody, you're always going to get somebody who is activist, who sees the Constitution not as a written contract, but something that is malleable that they can rewrite. That's what you're going to get when you do the Democrats. And you're going to get that 2/3 of the time with a Republican, because you're not allowed to pick somebody, I don't know, like a Judge Napolitano. You can't pick him. Oh, no, we got to have somebody that graduated from Georgetown University, right? No, it's got to be somebody who has worked in the federal system and is a lifelong bureaucrat. Those are the only people we can consider. Well, if those are the only people we're going to consider, it's going to be very rare that you find somebody that stands on principle. Clarence Thomas has been such a person, so has Samuel Alito. It's kind of shaping up that Gorsuch will be, but it's already shown that Kavanaugh and Barrett are not. Unlike comparable rules, wrote Gorsuch, he wrote, as a matter of fact, the dissenting opinion. He says, unlike comparable rules in most other states, Maine's rule contains no exemption for those whose sincerely held religious beliefs preclude them from accepting the vaccination. Why would they do that? Let me interject here. Why would they do that? Because it's such a slam dunk legal issue. They just said, well, we're not even going to consider it. Because if they were to take those religious exemptions, then they would lose. And they would have to find some other way to intimidate, to harass people out of their companies for not getting the vaccine, the jab, the vex, whatever. I know people criticize me for calling it a vaccine. We know what we're talking about here. I've just explained that it's not a vaccine. But we will use the term that is, we'll use the vernacular of the mainstream press. The applications before us are a, the applicants rather, before us are a physician who operates a medical practice and eight other healthcare workers. No one questions that these individuals have served patients on the front line of the COVID-19 pandemic with bravery and grace for 18 months now. This is Gorsuch's dissenting opinion. He says, yet with Maine's new rule coming into effect, one of the applicants has already lost her job for refusing to betray her faith. Another risks the imminent loss of his medical practice. The applicants ask us to enjoin further enforcement of Maine's new rule, at least until we can decide whether to accept their petition. I would grant that relief. He also addressed the hypocrisy in allowing medical exemptions, but not religious exemptions. He said no one questions that protecting patients and healthcare workers from contracting COVID-19 is a laudable objective, but Maine does not suggest a worker who is unvaccinated for medical reasons is less likely to spread or to contract the virus than someone who is unvaccinated for religious reasons. You see? So if you don't get the vaccine for medical reasons, is that any more of a health issue than if you don't get the vaccine for religious reasons? Or for political reasons, or for privacy reasons, or for informed consent reasons? He said, no, continuing with his statement here, nor may any government blithely assume those claiming a medical exemption will be more willing to wear protective gear, or submit to testing, or to take other precautions than someone who would be seeking a religious exemption. Now, he could have pointed out that the CDC and many foreign governments have already admitted over and over again that being vaccinated absolutely does nothing to stop transmission. Nothing. They're saying this over and over again. Well, let me be clear. You know, we've got three things involved here. You know, is it going to is it going to do anything about transmission? No. No. Is it going to keep you from getting sick? No. Is it going to keep you from dying? No. But, you know, you might not get as sick, and you know, it would be worse if you died without it than if you died with it or from it, right? But they don't even pretend that transmission is a part of this now. That's no longer even a part of the establishment expert narrative that we're getting from the CDC and others. It's just that it's going to protect you. Well, if that's the case, then that's covered under informed consent. People get to determine whether they, what the risks and benefits and how they apply to themselves. So, yeah, Barrett, as I said before, I think she is a fraud. She is a legal fraud. She is a moral, ethical, and religious fraud as well. Another federal judge, however, has halted the Biden administration from disciplining unvaxxed workers. So you had an district judge, Colleen Collar Cotelli, put in an order and said, quote, none of the civilian employee plaintiffs will be subject to discipline while his or her request for religious exemption is pending. The judge also specified that active duty military plaintiffs whose religious exemption requests have been denied will not be disciplined or separated during the pendency of their appeals. And so basically what she did was she put kind of a temporary restraining order on Biden from pursuing his manic desire to destroy our society, to destroy our supply chain, to destroy our military, our first responders, small businesses, and, of course, our health care. No, all of that, he's going to, if you look at this, like that member of the European Parliament said, you know, why are these people pushing this so hard? Can you trust the government? Have you ever been able to trust the government? And when you look at this, you should ask yourself, who benefits from this? Why are they so focused on this? That ought to be the biggest red flag there is, to see how singularly minded they are about this, how nothing else matters to them. Not their ability to get military equipment, not their ability to have a ready military, nothing. Not the police, not the firemen, not the trash pickup, not the water department. Nothing matters to these people. Not even the hospitals that we were supposed to shut down for 2 weeks in order to protect the hospitals. Now they're shutting down the hospitals. When you look at this and the fact that nothing matters to these people other than getting everyone vaccinated, we have yet another one of the Biden minions saying everyone has to get vaccinated and we aren't going to, none of this is going to stop until everybody gets vaccinated. Well, then I guess it isn't going to stop because there's a lot of us who aren't going to go down that road. So the judge specified that about active duty military plaintiffs and also about firing civilian employees. What was the response of the Biden administration to the courts? You see, when we win in the courts, the Democrats just ignore it. You know, the Democrats can tell Trump, you can't protect the border. And he goes, oh, okay. Oh, boy, that's good. Now I don't have to bear responsibility. I told everybody I wanted to do it, but, you know, now I don't have to bear any responsibility for that because the courts told me no. Courts told me that I can't get rid of the executive order deferring application of law to childhood arrivals, DACA. So they told me I can't do that. So now I'm off the hook. See, I wanted to do it, but the court told me no. Well, what happens when the Biden administration is told no by a court? Well, the Biden administration and all the heads of the departments of the executive branch were ordered to file a supplemental notice by noon on Friday to confirm that no plaintiff will be punished pending the court's ruling. Or else, quote, the court shall order bifurcated briefing requiring defendants to file an expedited opposition to the temporary restraining order motion by November the 2nd, tomorrow. So this judge ruled, put out a temporary restraining order, sent it to the Biden administration, said, I want you to acknowledge this. Crickets. They just ignored it. They just ignored it. Which, by the way, is constitutionally correct. See, Trump was wrong to put himself under the judiciary. Apart from whether you agree with this or not, and I agree with her, but I think that Biden is actually using his constitutional powers here. So that's a bad thing. As I've said many times, I agreed with Andrew Jackson saying the Supreme Court has made its decision. Let's see them enforce it. And that was a case where the Supreme Court reversed itself, the same court reversed itself in 1 year because they saw how bad Andrew Jackson's policy was to the Cherokee in terms of removing them from their native lands. He was wrong, and they were right. But he had the Constitution and the constitutional power on his side to do what he, that was the power of his office, right or wrong. That was the power of his office. That's the way the courts should be looking at this. And so, although I agree with this judge, the Biden administration does not have to abide by that decision. That was the thing that was driving me nuts about Donald Trump. He was abiding by that decision so he wouldn't have to do something that was going to be politically unpopular. He could straddle the fence. He could tell his base, I really want to, but they're telling me I can't. That isn't going to happen with the Biden administration. They're not going to listen to the courts. According to American Military News, the Biden administration wrote in response to the order that it would not agree to halting the firing of plaintiffs in the process of seeking a religious exemption. So they didn't just ignore it. They said, we refuse to comply with that order. We do have a separation of powers. And it just shows you how hell-bent he is on destroying people's lives and destroying this country. And he has the power to do it as president if we don't stop this. If we do not stand up in civil disobedience, if we do not stand together to take this system down, and I'm saying that that is something that extends beyond people who are vaccinated. One of the people, as I reported, who is fighting for in Canada, who is fighting to stop these mandates up there, is a fireman who got the jab early. He thought, well, yeah, this is a good thing, and I want to do this. And I don't know if he regrets doing that, but what he does oppose is this being a mandate. He said, you can't mandate this for people. He chose to get it. But he said, if we're going to have this, there's no end to what they can force you to put into your body. No end. He understands the precedent that's being set here. And so he, a person who's been fully vaccinated, is leading an organization to stop these mandates. And that's why I say we have to stand up to this collectively. Not just vaccinated versus unvaccinated. This demonization that is going on in the mainstream media is another effort to polarize society, to have us fighting amongst ourselves over vaccinated versus unvaccinated, where we need to come together and we need to say, all right, that's it. These mandates are wrong. And the vaccinated as well as the unvaccinated need to say these mandates are wrong. We're not going to live under a medical dictatorship. You better come together and oppose that. Regardless of what you think about the vaccine, you better oppose this collectively. So according to Biden's executive orders, and there's two of them, the one about federal workers as well as contractors and subcontractors, they have to get these vaccines with limited exceptions. The timing is running on this, but we haven't seen the order yet, even yet, about the private companies that have 100-plus employees. Michael Yoder, the attorney representing the plaintiffs, who were just shut out by the Supreme Court, said the Biden administration has shown an unprecedented cavalier attitude toward the rule of law and an utter ineptitude at basic constitutional contours. And he's right in the sense that it's the order itself that is a violation of the Constitution. For him to say, I'm not going to pay any attention to the court, I think that is constitutional. But his order is what is unconstitutional. He went on to say, thankfully, our constitution protects and secures the right to remain free from religious persecution and coercion. With this order, we are one step closer to putting the Biden administration back in its place by limiting the government to its enumerated powers. It's time citizens and courts said no to tyranny. The Constitution does not need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. Exactly right. And so let me just clarify. This judge is absolutely right to say you don't have the authority to do this. And this needs to be looked at. He has a constitutional authority, his separation of powers, to ignore that. Because he's already ignored the Constitution, why wouldn't he ignore a judge? The Constitution is the higher authority here, not the judges. The president is not under the judiciary. He's under the Constitution. If he's going to defy the Constitution, of course he'll defy a judge. 12,000 Air Force personnel, including elite pilots, have rejected the vaccine order as the deadline of tomorrow looms. Other branches like the Navy have deadlines that are coming later in November, but the Air Force deadline is the very first one. It is the earliest deadline, and it is tomorrow. The Washington Post reports that up to 12,000 Air Force personnel are still declining the vaccine. I think this is likely underreported, and I'll tell you why in just a second. The Hill summarized the dilemma facing military top brass as follows. Whoever with such significant amount of service members rejecting, with such significant amount of service members rejecting the vaccine mandate, officials are faced with a dilemma. Take action against those who rejected the mandate and possibly face serious setbacks within units that should be ready for a crisis, or go back on a wide-scale requirement established in August by the top military leaders. So are they going to save face instead of saving military readiness? Yeah, they'll go with a save face. The Air Force is the largest military service at 324,000 members, said the Washington Post. Even a small percentage of the ranks can be substantial, especially when it is elite pilots. Well, you know, if that's the case, you know, in terms of talking about this, you're talking about something that's a little bit under 5%. But is that really what we're looking at here? They say that if the services take the same hard line of all the rest of them that the Navy is taking, it risks losing as many as 46,000 troops, though presumably more will accept vaccination before the deadline, and the Navy's deadline is November the 28th. Pentagon spokesman said the Army is the largest military service, and it has granted only one permanent medical exemption and no religious exemptions for this coronavirus injection. That's really what it is. They're injecting the coronavirus into you. The Navy hasn't granted any religious exemption for medical vaccines for the coronavirus or otherwise in the past 7 years. Notice that qualification, in the past 7 years. That means that prior to 7 years ago, they did recognize religious exemptions and they did recognize medical exemptions, but no more. Very telling, isn't it? The religious objections have centered on the fetal cell lines and some aspects of the vaccine development, and of course, that is not the only religious objection to it. The cannibal medicine and research is not limited, as we've seen, not limited to the 1963 cell lines. And the religious objections are not limited to the unethical cannibalism either. As Army, I think it was the Army, was the individual who was who wrote that letter that I read back in September, and I had another listener say that he works for a large nationwide medical transport company as a helicopter mechanic. He said, I listened to your show on September the 17th where you outlined and read a religious exemption from one of your listeners in the military. And that was the one I was talking about. He said, I thought it was well written, very rational, while still making its points strongly. I transcribed it from your podcast. I used it as a template to write mine so that I can keep my job. I must admit, I started to get discouraged after hearing nothing back for over a month from my human resources overlords. But your shows helped me to stay calm, keep the faith. The religious exemption is truly bulletproof. Mine was accepted today. And so I just want to say to the officer who did that, I assume it was an officer, that, you know, they may deny your exemption, but just know that you helped somebody else significantly. I just passed that information along. I didn't write the letter. It was a wonderful letter. And I mentioned that because it didn't just focus on the ethics of cannibal research, the ethics of Nazi research, of Joseph Mengele research. It didn't just focus on that. It also talked about the mark of the beast. It said, I don't know if this is the mark of the beast or not, but I know that it certainly looks like it. It sounds like it. And at the very least, it is preparation for it. I just say, if it looks like it, it sounds like it, it acts like it, it smells like it, it works like it, it probably is it. Don't you think? And I, as I've said before, I'm not dogmatic about all these interpretations of Revelation. I just have to say that don't let your commitment to some kind of sequence of events or some kind of chronology keep you from seeing the obvious thing staring you in the face about this mark of the beast. No one will be able to buy or to sell without the mark of the government. It's just that simple. It's that simple. It is opposed to Christ. It is opposed to religion. It is opposed to ethics. It is opposed to legitimate authority. It is oppositional to everything that we should be supporting. And you should not support it. You should not be a part of that. Just understand that it is not going to be obvious to you. These people don't work by laying everything out there and saying, this is what I want to do. They operate by deception, just as we saw at the very beginning of this program when I talked about how they buried a redefinition of what a vaccine is and modifying the definition of a vaccine to bring in the mRNA shots, you know, taking out that synthesized, anything except for something. I had a long list of what a vaccine would be, but it excluded synthesized polypeptides, which is what that is. They didn't even call it an mRNA. In that document, they just removed that exception, said synthesized polypeptides in order to make this a vaccine. That's the kind of deception you're going to see. It'll be there. But you have seen the obvious part of it, that you'll have a governmental system that will require that you take something in order to buy, sell, or do anything. And so I say, it's absolutely astounding, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, that this was put out in such detail. Don't miss that obvious detail. Even if the commander believes that an airman has a sincere request, it may be denied. See? They don't care whether your beliefs are sincere or not. They don't care whether your medical exemption is sincere or not. Everybody will get the jab. What does that tell you? How many times do I have to say that this obsession with this genetic code injection that these people have, I don't care what it does to your health. I don't care that it violates your religious beliefs. I don't care what it does to the supply chain. I don't care what it does to emergency services. I don't care what it does to the middle class. I don't care what it does to small business. That's where we were a year ago under Trump. I don't care. You're not essential. This kind of obsession, folks, they are at war with us. They are at war with us. Economic sanctions. Last year, the economic sanctions were against the middle-class businesses, and now this year, the economic sanctions are against the individuals, you and I. So even if the commander believes that the request for religious exemption is sincere, it may be denied if it's believed that the unvaccinated airman could harm unit cohesion or make it too difficult to work close together. That should have absolutely no bearing on it because the transmission doesn't change regardless of whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. Nearly 87% of active duty troops are fully vaccinated, said Kirby. Although hesitancy among military reservists and National Guard members drives down the rate for the entire force to 68%. This is why I say I think these numbers are bogus. When they say that 12,000 people in one branch of the service, I mean, you're talking about 2 million people, and you're saying that 13% of those are not vaccinated. And when you extend this out to the National Guard, it drops down to 68%, meaning a third of them are not vaccinated. So that means that, you know, you've got 700,000 that are not vaccinated, they're telling us 12,000. Do you believe any of these numbers? Do you believe their unemployment numbers? Do you believe their flu numbers from years ago? Do you believe their inflation numbers? Do you believe their COVID numbers? Do you believe their we're not going to take the vaccine numbers? I don't believe anything this government says. Say the same thing about them that I said about China in January of last year. I said, we're seeing some pretty amazing stuff happening in China. And they're telling us some pretty amazing things about how deadly this pandemic is. And I said, just consider the source. We're talking about the Chinese government. I wouldn't believe a thing they're saying. And we're talking about the American government and the Pentagon, and I wouldn't believe a thing they say either. I mean, just go back and listen to that member of the European Parliament. She understands. As vaccination rates rose, so did military deaths. Yeah, see? In the military, in country after country, as you start to vaccinate people, guess what? Everybody starts dying. We didn't die last year, right? It wasn't a mass die-off last year. Look at this. In September, more military personnel died from the coronavirus infections than in all of 2020. Isn't that interesting? We're seeing more people reported as dying and crippled, far more than all of the 30 years that they've been collecting statistics in the VAERS database, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. So we're seeing more than all 30 years combined. You look at the chart and it goes along and all of a sudden goes straight up, just kind of bouncing along at zero compared to what we've had in the last year. And then you look at the military and you see that more military personnel died from quote unquote coronavirus infection. Yeah, yeah. Than in 1 month than in all of last year. Why? Because they're killing them with a vaccine. It's just that simple, and calling it coronavirus. None who died had been fully vaccinated, according to Pentagon spokesman Charlie Dietz. You know why? 2 weeks past the last injection. How many stories have I shown you of people who died within 24, 48 hours? Or just as, right after the first shot or right after the second shot. We've seen this over and over again. Another listener writes and says, I wanted to let you know that Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina did indeed mandate the vaccine because they are a federal contractor. That was despite the fact that South Carolina Governor McMaster's bloviating on Twitter. I guess the gates of hell were too hot after all, and he went back to his ivory tower to cool off. It's just all talk, just like Trump. Blue Cross Blue Shield employees have until December the 8th to get vexed or to face termination. I'll be submitting a religious exemption based on the aborted fetal cell lines, especially HEK-293. I'll let you know how it goes. It should be interesting, the stipulations that they'll try to enforce: bi-weekly testing, isolation during meetings and masks. This is what we're seeing regularly. Everybody is doing this. So if you file the religious exemption, they don't have a legal basis to ignore it. I mean, it's a different situation in the military. They don't have the same legal system that we do. From the Constitution, it should not be required under any circumstances. But I'm talking about the religious exemption because we have so many different laws prohibiting religious discrimination or punishment because of religious beliefs, as well as the First Amendment. It really is a very, very powerful thing. So they can't fight it that way. So what they do is, they'll approve it and then try to hassle you out to the point that you quit by the constant testing, by the masking, by the isolation that they put you through. So he says, the writing is on the wall. He says, I work for the enemy and I'm part of the baddies. You know, the British comedy skit. It's like, Hans, have you noticed that we've got skulls on our... our caps? Do you think we're the baddies? And you know how that ends, right? He keeps asking the guy the question, and at one point in time, it does dawn on the other guy, and they run out of the camp, head for the hills, run for the exit. And that's true. So you realize you're part of the baddies. He says, I've got to find a job with a company that believes in liberty and has strong Christian values. That's right. We can find things that are better, and we can start building a society along those values. That's the key thing. There are enough of us that we could have a much, much, much larger society than the original 13 colonies were. They only had 2.5 million people. We're talking about, 80 to 100 million people who don't want to get this vaccine, who don't want to live under this kind of medical tyranny. We have enough people in America that we could start a very large country. And if we hang together, they can't take us out. It's just that simple. So first responders unions are saying we have to resist COVID-19 mandates for frontline workers. I got to say, this resistance that we're seeing now, this is really the first response we've seen from we the people. It's now happening with the police and the firemen and the, you know, all these different emergency services. But it's also happening and not being widely reported by one individual after another. And I didn't have time to get it into the video list today, but I had an individual who was a receptionist. Now, I'll play that for you later this week, who stood up for her rights and recorded it as they were pushing her out the door with this. And this is affecting everybody. But the good thing about this is that people are finally responding to this. They finally realize what a fraud this is. That's what I want you to understand. As I began with the show, saying, look at this, in December, before there was any talk about this being a pandemic, they subtly changed the definition of these mRNA jabs, these injections, these genetic code injections. They subtly changed it to make it a vaccine. It was planned. It was a fraud. Chicago Police Department told its employees that unvaccinated officers could not only lose their jobs, but also put their retirement benefits at risk, but they're standing up. In Seattle, Police Officers Guild president said, told NBC this week that the city's vaccine mandate for its employees is unreasonable, that it is void of common sense. The Massachusetts State Police Union has said that at least 150 officers have resigned so far. The fight between union leaders and city officials is happening all over the country. And I just have to say that when you look at this, you know, the issue that these people have is that we've got a contract here. This is something that if you want to change our contract, you've got to negotiate this. But again, when we look at what our government is doing, we have a contract with Americans. It's called the Bill of Rights. As a matter of fact, when I ran for office back in 1996, that was my poster. It was the election after Newt Gingrich had done his contract with America. And so I said, this is my contract with America. It's called the Bill of Rights. And I put out a pamphlet and I pointed out 25 years ago all the ways that every one of the Bill of Rights was being violated at that point in time. And I said, that's what has to stop. That's my contract with America. I've got 10 points just like Newt Gingrich, but mine are based on the Constitution. And it is a contract. Russell Means said in his book, Where White Men Fear to Tread, he said, white man, the Constitution is government's treaty with you. The government has broken every treaty that it's made with the American Indians. And he goes, and they've broken every aspect of this contract they made with you, the Constitution. So what are you going to do about it? Well, now they're breaking the contracts that they have with the employees, with the police unions, with the firemen union, and every other union. Yeah, we had this contract, but we're just going to arbitrarily throw it out. You can see that, can't you? You can see that. I mean, it may be hard for you to see what happened with the Indian treaties. It may be hard for you to even understand what happens with the Constitution. But if you see somebody's got a contract, you know, labor union's got a contract, and they just throw this out unilaterally, you can't do that. These people are criminals. They're lawless criminals. They're rebels against authority. Understand who you're dealing with here. Fight them in every means that you can, but these people are criminals. They will not be held to any law, to any court decision, any judge's decision. If they get what they want, they'll use that against us. But as we saw earlier, if you have a judge that says, hey, you can't do this, and say, well, we're going to do it anyway. I don't really care what you have to say. They'll accept the decisions that they win in court, and if they lose in court, they'll just simply ignore it. So as we look around the country, we have in Baltimore, city employees must show proof they're vaccinated or undergo weekly testing. Starting earlier this month, in response, Baltimore firefighters requested a delay on the mandate, and the Baltimore Police Union told its officers not to disclose their vaccination status. Baltimore's police union filed an unfair labor practice lawsuit, complaint with the Office of Labor Commissioner. In Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, the police association there filed an unfair labor practices charge against the Pennsylvania Labor Relations Board. In Providence, Rhode Island, a vaccine mandate for healthcare workers includes EMTs, It went into effect October the 1st. So the Providence Firefighters and Rhode Island Association of Firefighters asked for the mandate to be reconsidered. They stand to lose 10% of their workforce. In Minnesota, 180 healthcare workers filed a lawsuit against 24 health institutions to block the enforcement of vaccine mandates. This is why I say, this is just our first response, Biden. This is not going to be limited to filing responses, lawsuits, and filing complaints with labor relation boards. This is just our first response. There's things that you can do. But there's a lot more of us than there are of you and your minions, and we are determined. In New York City, 26 fire stations have now been shuttered as this all kicked off on Friday. The L.A. sheriff warns of a mass exodus. The Tucson Water District says they're facing staffing shortages. I mean, do you realize this? Let me just say this again. This is a government at the federal level, at the state level, these are governments that don't care if we have any water. They don't care if we have trash. They don't care if we have ambulances. They don't care if we have hospitals or fire departments to put out fires. They are singularly focused on one thing and one thing only, the vaccine. And there's absolutely no medical reason for it. As the CDC itself has said, Rochelle Walensky, it does nothing to change the transmission. Transmission is the same between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. So they don't care what the law is. They don't care what the practical consequences are of this. They are obsessed. They have a manic obsession to inject everyone. That has got to be the red flag. If you don't understand any of the other issues, that should be something that should get you very concerned. So the 26 New York fire companies have been shuttered citywide. Yeah, because, you know, these people want to be Nero. They want to burn down our society, and quite literally they can if they shutter these fire departments. And then guess who they're going to blame it on? The unvaccinated. The unvaccinated, many of them Christians, just like Nero blamed his fire on the Christians. They said this is an unconscionable move, as said one critic, could have catastrophic consequences across the other coast in L.A. You have the L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanova has warned an imminent threat to public safety will be caused by a mass exodus of thousands of deputies and civilian personnel who refuse to take the jab. He said, I could potentially lose 44% of my workforce in one day. And that sheriff's department in Los Angeles County is the largest in the country. It employs approximately 18,000 people. Half of those are sworn deputies. And he's saying, I could lose 44% of my workforce in one day. This is why I don't believe the numbers coming out of the Air Force. Yeah, they can put more pressure on people in the Air Force because, you know, people who are law enforcement officers, they can move to Florida or something like that. So they can put more pressure on people than on the military. In the military, they're kicking people out. They're going to lose their retirement. They're going to lose medical care. A lot of pressure on the people in the military. But I can't believe that in a situation where you've got a third of the military that is not vaccinated, when you include National Guard, I can't believe that 700,000 people and you're only going to have, you know, 12,000 in the Air Force, and you multiply that, maybe 50,000 maybe of that. I simply do not believe that. I do not believe that. So back to New York, the fire commissioner says is blaming the firefighters, just like Nero. He's saying this is irresponsible to take bogus sick leave. It creates a danger for New Yorkers and their fellow firefighters. They need to return to work or risk the consequences of their actions. See, it's their problem. It's not that the fire commissioner is wrongfully terminating people after trying to coerce them into taking a genetic code injection. No, it's their fault. It's their fault. If the fires start and nobody puts it out, they will blame it on the firefighters. That's what I'm telling you. They're setting up the people who are not vaccinated to be the fall guys. And it's time for the people who got vaccinated, whether they did it because of coercion, whether they did it because they were deceived by Fauci, they better wake up and see what is being done to us, to our society, to the supply chains, what is being done to us politically, the precedents that are being set. One person who is a Republican representative of Staten Island in Brooklyn, Nicole Malliotakis, I think, said 26 companies shuttered, 5 in her district alone. She said if somebody dies due to the slower emergency response, it's on Bill de Blasio and on his overreaching mandates. But, of course, the fire chief says that it's the firefighters that are to blame because they didn't get the mandated jab. See, I think we need to have a Spartacus movement. We've got to stand up to this one at a time. And we have to say, I am Spartacus. And I'm not talking about creating some kind of a foundation thing or a website to take donations or whatever. No. We don't need that. We don't need an organization. We need backbone, individually and collectively, but individually. And so we need the people to identify with Spartacus. We don't need a formal thing. It needs to be organic. It needs to be grassroots. It is ultimately a mindset. I will not be your slave. I will not be your slave. Freedom is never given. It is taken. And win or lose, we have to be resolved that we are not going to become willing slaves to these people. Win or lose, we will not be your slaves. We need a Spartacus movement. And don't go out there and create a website and start taking donations like Stop the Steal or Alex Jones would or something like that. Don't do that. Just strengthen your resolve. Do what you need to do on an individual basis. A man who lives next door to the firehouse said he had not seen firefighters for about 24 hours, and they were desperately needed in his neighborhood. He said, many of the houses here are semi-attached frame houses. You throw a match on it, and it goes up real quick, and you need a quick response. It's scary, he said, not having any firefighters anymore. Saturday's temporary closures represented about 7.6% of the city's 341 engine and ladder companies. So they shut about 7.5% of their stations. But that's not the full thing. You understand that, right? They shut those 7.5% because they had such a high percentage of people at that location that had not gotten the vaccine. They're going to be short people in all of these other stations as well. If they had to close down 7.5% of the stations, you better believe they don't have sufficient personnel in any of them. Again, going back to the Roman Empire, when we talk about somebody being decimated, that means that they lost 10% of their force. They were decimated. Our government is at war with us. They're decimating everything in our society. And it's not just the firefighters and the policemen. It's the people who are the truckers, you name it. It's everybody that's involved in the things that are essential. Everything in life is essential. That's one of the things that really made me angry about Trump, this essential versus non-essential BS. Everybody is essential. I'll tell you who's not essential. Politicians. People like Trump are not essential. Everybody else is. So these people are decimating the ranks. You know, they did that as a punishment in the Roman Empire. It would take the Roman army if they ran away from a battle. They would execute every 10th man as an example to the rest. That's what they're doing right now. They're destroying the lives of every 10th person as an example to the rest. You better get in line. You better do as you're told by these medical dictators. It is a deliberate program of decimation. It is psychological, economic, religious warfare against everyone. 1 in 6 New York City public servants, that means 17%. 17%. 1 in 6 New York City public servants remain unvaccinated after the mandatory vaccination deadline. That's what I'm saying. This move against them is much bigger than they want to admit in the press. So pretty soon, and this is all the city workers, again, these are sanitation workers picking up the trash on the streets. We've seen what that looks like in New York when they would go on strike or something. Pretty soon, with all this uncollected garbage on the streets, you're going to be having vermin and rats everywhere, not just in City Hall, where they are infesting City Hall. Vaccination rates for the fire and sanitation departments jumped significantly on Friday, writes mainstream media. They're happy about that. Some of the workers who got shot by Friday could get $500 as well. How much is your freedom worth to you? Will you sell it out for that? Will you sell yourself into slavery for $500 and a job, promise of a job? Oh, yes, of course you can rely on people to keep you, keep their promises and keep you employed, can't you, when they do this type of thing to you? So vaccination rates rose significantly on Friday. They said the fire department rose 8%. The sanitation department saw an additional 10%. The fire and sanitation departments each have 23% of staff, though, still unvaccinated. The New York Police Department had a 5% jump in vaccination on Friday, leaving 16% of police personnel unvaccinated. So is that good news or bad news, right? Is it decimated or not? No, it's more than decimated. A judge has heard police union bid to pause in Chicago pause this. There are people in Chicago, the police officers and the firefighters are hanging together. More than 100 Chicago firefighters and other city employees have gone to federal court seeking a freeze on the vaccine mandate, the Trump juice mandate, by Lightfoot, the mayor, and Pritzker, the governor. U.S. District Judge John Lee is due to rule on the request, which he said puzzled him on Friday. I don't know if the request puzzled him or if the mandate puzzled him. Not enough information. So we'll just have to see what he does. But see, it's important that we hang together. I find it, you know, when we're talking about, especially, you know, it's very simple to understand what's going on with these contracts that people had, these labor contracts that they had, and how they're just throwing this out. And, you know, in the past, we've had labor disputes. They would call people who broke ranks, they would call them scabs. I think this definitely applies here. If you're going to cave to a contract that you have, and just say, oh, it's okay, never mind. You're going to just throw out my contract? Okay. And you're going to tell me I got to inject a genetic code injection? Oh, okay, I'll do all that. No, you need something more than a scab. Call these people jabs or something, right? Yeah, these people who are cowering and caving into this. I'm going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to talk about very, very important things that happened in Australia over the weekend. Very important what happened there. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
Okay, and before I get back into the news, I just want to thank those of you who generously supported us this month. And things came in at the very end of the month. We had a lot of people, and I want to just shout out some names, just first names and last initial, because I sent it in the mail. I have a lot of people who, as they send something in the mail, is like, did you get it? You know, they're kind of concerned as to whether or not we got it. And I just want to let these people know we got it and to thank them for getting us up to 95% this month. So I really do appreciate that. Here are the people that we got this came in over the last weekend. Joseph B., Ernest N., Reagan P., Sandra D., Paul F., Mary Ellen M., Catherine R., Jeremy W., Lois L., Steve H., and Tony A. Thank you so much, Tony Arterman. I just say that Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. Always been a generous supporter of the program. And I've got some more letters from listeners, but I want to get into what's going on in Australia. Stop Medical Apartheid, a massive, massive protest in Melbourne on Saturday. And what was most interesting about this was that the police did not start beating people and attacking people. And this was in violation of all of their rules. You're not supposed to be outside with more than 30 people as this is breaking down. So you have quite a bit more than 30. I would say it looks to me like they had more than maybe 30,000. I don't know. It was massive what happened there. But I just want you to hear a couple of things that were said there. So it was significant that the police did not attack. They stood there. And we also had a very, very effective speech by a former police officer. And first of all, let me just show you what the protest looked like. This is some of the crowd there. They've got signs that are saying coercion is not consent, saying 2 weeks to flatten the curve is now turned into your papers. So you can get an idea of the size of the crowd there. End the mandate. Stop medical apartheid. We need a bill of rights. And so these are many of the signs that you saw there. Before I get into what the police officer had to say, I just want to say I got this letter from a police officer in Australia. And I won't even say what state he's in. I'm not going to mention his name. I don't want to get him in any trouble. But he says, I'm a police officer in Australia. And he mentions where. He says, it's desperate times here, as it is with you in the USA. We've been lucky thus far in comparison to other Australian states like Victoria and New South Wales, but it's only a matter of time before it comes here. He said, we could only wish that we had a Second Amendment option here. Funnily, there has been a huge increase in firearms license applications from people wishing to purchase guns for sporting purposes. He says, you and Catherine Austin Fitz are my go-to sources for honest, reliable information and forecasting for what's coming down the pike. I need to get her back on again. She is always excellent, and it's been a while since we've had her on, so we need to get her on, Travis. Most people I work with are clueless, brainwashed by propaganda. It's very demoralizing. Luckily, and this is a police officer, he says, luckily I work solo most of the time, so I'm able to get paid for driving around listening to your show. He says, after being a police officer for 21 years, I still have another 10 years before retirement, but I'm just about done, and I'll be quitting soon. Our union and police service is corrupt to the core. The union publicly came out in the media and stated, quote, they support vaccinated officers refusing to work with unvaccinated officers. To top that off, there was a recent court case here for officers who took legal action against the police service for breach of employment contract, again, what we're just talking about here, right? Mandating the vaccine, and the union gave evidence for the police service and against the officers that they're supposed to represent. Absolutely disgusting. So the union is there to negotiate a contract and to hold the other side to it, right? Instead, they join with the establishment against the police officers when they unilaterally change the contract. And then they also push the fantasy that there is somehow a difference in transmission between vaccinated and unvaccinated. And again, there is no difference in transmission between vaccinated and unvaccinated. Listen to the CDC. Listen to the World Health Organization. Listen to Boris Johnson over and over again. I have establishment source after establishment source telling you now, in no uncertain terms, that your vaccination status has absolutely nothing to do with transmission. So how can you justify any of this? It is absolute betrayal. He goes on to say, anyway, enough of my moaning. He says, when I can figure out how to work Bitcoin, I'll send you some. By the way, I want to thank people who have sent us things via Bitcoin as well. Thank you, Tom. I really do appreciate that. So that is a listener a police officer in New Zealand. Now, I want you to hear, this is Saturday, this massive demonstration, and as this former police officer is speaking, he turns around and he addresses directly the police officers behind him. And you'll also get an idea as you watch this video just how massive this crowd is. I mean, the roads are just packed in every direction. And they're at an intersection. And so it's going off in several different directions. So here's this Australian police officer who spoke on Saturday.
This is not about a jab or no jab.
Not about a jab or no jab.
It's about the freedom. Back to Commonwealth. It's about democracy. So far, even though I know most of you don't agree with the show directions and all these restrictions on people's lives that have happened so far, I know you don't agree with it, but all you've shown so far, instead of showing loyalty to the people, you've shown loyalty to a paycheck.
And he's turning and facing and addressing the police officer, staying there in a line with masks on.
You've been able to show loyalty to your co-workers, some of which have been in the force for 30 years, who Daniel Andrews has thrown out. You need to understand that you are in the unique position of being able to create history. Now this is a dictatorship that's trying to be ushered into Victoria, and then it's going to be ushered into the rest of Australia. And the world is watching, and they're watching for good reason. They're watching because what's happening here is absolutely ridiculous.
Disgusting.
And we are a laughing stock. You get to make a decision. You get to make a decision as to whether or not you want to go down in history as the private army of a madman.
Yes.
You can either go down that path and be known for that in history, or you can be known as history as the people's protectors that stood up and prevented this tyranny. Understand that what happens to us all. When you take that uniform off at night, you won't be the oppressor anymore, you'll be...
Yeah. What a powerful speech. As he turns around, he addresses police officers. He used to be one himself. He says, you're in a unique position to create history. A dictatorship is being forced upon us, and the world is watching. And that's true. Everyone in the world is watching what is happening there and everywhere else, because this is being, they're probing us. These globalists, these people who want to rule us with a global governance, they are probing us in different places, and they're probing really hard in Australia. And so it's not just that we are watching the police officers to see what they're going to do. The globalists are watching them as well. They're watching very, very closely to see signs of resistance everywhere. And that's one of the main reasons why we have to stand up to this everywhere. Everywhere we have to stand up to this. You notice that there was no publicity, mainstream media, about what happened in Romania as they stood up to the people there. Stood up not to the people, but they stood up to these globalists. But anyway, he went on to say, are you going to go down in history as the private army of a madman or as the protectors of the people? That's their choice. And he said, at the end of the day, when you take off your uniform, what happens to you is going to be the same thing that happens to us. So there were signs saying, kill the bill. What they're trying to do there, and one of the reasons that this, one of the catalysts for this, besides the general authoritarian and draconian policies in Melbourne, was the fact that they want to take these emergency orders and they want to fix them in law. And that's what they're talking about right now. Kill the bill. They want to make this permanent. They want to make this a part of, they want to make this medical dictatorship entrenched in law. The declaration will give the health minister broad powers to make pandemic orders. And we know we haven't had a pandemic. They certainly haven't had one. You can't make any case for that there at all. To give broad powers to make pandemic orders on the health officer's advice. And it will replace the current state of emergency, which expires on December the 15th. So as their state of emergency is going to expire, they want to make this permanent and put it in stone. A similar process is in place in New South Wales and also, of course, in New Zealand, where the health minister gets to call the shots. That's what we're talking about. Victoria as a whole remains under some COVID-19 measures, including 75% capacity rules at indoor entertainment venues and limits on outdoor gatherings to just 30 people. maybe they ignored that. Absolutely no way that was being paid any attention to. Dictator Dan Andrade there in Victoria said, "This is not about stopping people going to work. It's about making sure that we can open up." Well, you talk about double speak, Orwellian double speak, and lying to people's faces. No, this is about stopping people from going to work. It is about imposing a medical dictatorship. That's all this is about. This is not about opening up. You're doing exactly the opposite of opening up. And you have said that if you don't get the jab, you're not going, there is no such thing as herd immunity anymore. They're not even talking about that. We don't care if it's going to be 70, 80, 90%, 95, 98%, 99%. As long as you're not jabbed, you will not participate in what he calls his vaccine economy. This is about creating not just an apartheid. This is about creating an underclass that they are going to eventually try to put us all in concentration camps. That's where this is going. They're even building them in Australia. The press is even bragging about the fact that next fall they're going to have those ready. Just in time. It's a plan. Right now, they're vilifying the unvaccinated. Right now, they're excluding the unvaccinated from public places, excluding the unvaccinated from work. And as I said many times, as they create the perception with their propaganda that unvaccinated people are filthy disease spreaders. And again, it's not true. The vaccinated are transmitting it as much, if not more so, than the unvaccinated. But as they can paint us as filthy vermin, they will then justify putting us in concentration camps. And they're building the concentration camps now there. Interestingly, for now, in contrast to previous protests in the city, despite the breach of the law, limiting outdoor gatherings to just 30 people, as you saw there, the police did not have a forceful presence as they have in the past. It's not clear whether any arrests were made. As a matter of fact, so we saw no violence there from the police, at least that I know of. Instead of the violence, we had violins. Listen to this.
Mark in. Everybody listen to the power of music. Silence!
And look at the size of this crowd. They're all standing there, no masks, peacefully. You can't see anything but a sea of humanity as they pan this around in every direction. And to show that this was not going to be about violence, they calm everybody down with music. Beautifully done. I'll be quiet and let you hear it. Just look at that crowd. That's amazing. Not a mask inside, except on the police officers. All right, that goes on for a while, and you've seen the crowd there. And I just have to say that if everybody doesn't die, it kind of shows that their lockdown is nonsense, doesn't it? So don't hold your breath. I don't think everybody's going to die, just like everybody hasn't died here in Texas. You know, 100,000 people, just one football game, and then they all rush into the center. That's possibly a bigger crowd there in Melbourne. You even have NBC asking the difficult questions of Fauci. Well, why haven't we seen a surge in Texas and Florida? You know, they're not wearing masks, and they're not limiting people going to sporting events like in New York, right? You can't go to New York sporting event unless you're vaccinated, unless you're wearing masks and all this other stuff. But if they don't all die, we'll know that's an experiment right there. We'll know that the rules and regulations in Australia are nonsense. I've got one more clip I want to play for you out of Australia. This is a lady who also spoke at this event.
And that's what this is here. What this shows is the start of a movement where people are paying attention to politics in a way they have not done for probably decades.
That's right. We've awakened a sleeping giant at this point.
This is how change starts, by people coming out, by people learning and people understanding. There is nothing to stop anyone, no matter who you are, understanding how...
Right. This is a crisis moment. Danger and opportunity. See, this is the point where we can move forward, we can wake people up, and they can pay attention to what has been happening to us for quite some time. This isn't something that just began last year. This has been going on for quite some time. And we can either wake up to that, and we can change that, and make changes in our life, make changes in our institutions. We do not want to conserve these institutions. I am not a conservative. There is nothing that needs to be conserved in this, quite frankly, outside of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution in the U.S. These institutions are thoroughly compromised, corrupt, and enemies of the people. We talk about the schools. You don't need to beg these school boards to do the right thing. Get out of the schools and defund them. That's what I'm talking about. So when you look at this again, it's a crisis. It's a danger. And it's an opportunity. That's the Chinese character for crisis is composed of those two characters. That's the best way to see where we are right now. And I said this a year ago. I said, what you're going to see is people are going to remain asleep. They're going to remain with a pacifier in their mouth because they're going to take that MAGA cap, that red cap, and they're going to stick it in their mouth like a pacifier. Or you're going to have a situation where Biden gets in and he won't be able to resist his authoritarian urges, because you're not going to find anybody more authoritarian than Joe Biden. And Joe Biden and the Biden administration, I said, will jump the shark on this. And I said, and that's the moment where we have an opportunity for people to wake up and see this for what it is. Trump will keep you asleep, but Joe Biden perhaps will wake you up. And then, even if we're awake, that doesn't mean that we win. But that's the essential thing that has to happen for us to win. Unvaxxed San Francisco police said one officer are discarded like a piece of trash. No, by the way, there's nobody picking up the trash now either, right? So they said there's many officers now on paid administrative leave. More are on disability or family and medical leave, have yet to report their vaccination status. San Francisco previously allowed the city employees to submit exemptions for COVID-19 vaccine, and they were approved. And then they changed their minds. Later, the Department of Public Health issued a health order requiring all city employees to be vaccinated, regardless of the exemptions that they had already granted. You see how this works? Like I said, they don't play by the rules. They don't even play by their own rules, just like the FDA doesn't play by its own rules. So they put out a procedure. They said they gave us very strict timelines on what they wanted from us and when these things were due. My members followed those guidelines, whether it was submitting an application or requesting an exemption, and the city has just thrown the rules to the wind. Oh, yes, every one of our rules have been thrown to the wind. Laws, bureaucratic rules, the Constitution, all of that. So it just really made my members distrustful. It completely lacks transparency. And the members are like, what rules are we supposed to follow? Because it's really unclear what the rules are at this stage. Well, just understand, you're operating under a medical dictatorship. The rules are in the mouth of whoever the dictator is. He dictates to you. That's his rules. We are moving at this point. If we don't stop this, Western society is moving away from anything that resembles remotely the rule of law, due process, individual liberties. We are wiping out thousands of years of civilization that's been hard won from Magna Carta on. They are wiping out all respect for individuals, for individual liberty, and for the rule of law. They're throwing everything to the wind. And this is why people like that firefighter in Canada who got vaccinated said, we can't allow this to happen. This is way beyond the medical issue, way beyond it. For some reasons, we were told that they would go under secondary review process, and then we had to answer some additional questions, and we had to submit those by a new deadline, and then we got paperwork that stated that all our exemptions were now denied. So some of these officers, one of them, said she was born and raised in San Francisco. She said this is her 20th year with the San Francisco Police Department. She said it's really been rough for all of us. I've been in contact with my colleagues who were impacted by the mandates, who are on leave. We're going through a lot of stress, a lot of heartache. Everybody is. It's not just, again, it's not just policemen, firemen. Everybody is going through this right now. We worked tirelessly through the pandemic, and just to undergo a complete 180 and to be yanked from duty, put on leave, is pretty heartbreaking. You're just discarded like a piece of trash. Another officer, Rebecca Schiff, said, they asked questions. She said, I'm Roman Catholic. They asked questions like, well, the Pope was for the vaccine, so what makes you so different? She said it was very abrasive questioning like that, questioning your religious beliefs. Again, your religious beliefs are not to be questioned. And liberty is never granted, right? If you're going to have them give you, if you have no rights at that point, you have government-granted privileges. They're trying to replace our concept of human rights with government-granted privileges. They're trying to replace our system of laws with dictates from medical, unelected dictators. She said they took trainers from the academy and they put them on the street. Then they hired retired people to come into the academy to make up for the training that they otherwise wouldn't have. She says, I don't think the new trainees will be getting the same kind of training that we did. Well, you better believe they won't. Her now retired, listen to this, she comes from a family of cops. Her father's retired, but her father was a cop, her brother's a cop, and her significant other is also a cop. She said, for the department to have that kind of hard line, it really doesn't show collaboration between the union and the city. They're just taking this one-size-fits-all approach. Well, again, that should tell you what this is truly about. Is it clear at this point what their agenda is? They have one agenda right now, and that is to get everybody vaccinated. Nothing else matters to them. One of the people challenging this said the department is already short 400 officers, and this is now adding to their deficit. You have the individual, the doctor, Aaron Cariotti, who teaches at the University of California, Irvine. He is a doctor, but he's also head of the medical ethics program there at the university. And I talked about this when he filed his court case, but he's now had more to say. He said he started noticing a pattern in public health decisions that seemed to diverge from traditional medical ethics, including an insistence that people who have little risk from COVID-19 get a vaccine. How does that apply to medical ethics? Well, the simplest statement, one of the oldest statements about medical ethics, is to first do no harm. That's why your physician and you should be deciding what level of medical risk is appropriate for you. All right? We shouldn't be having a one-size-fits-all when it comes to medicine. That's why we didn't want to have Hillary Care. We didn't want the government calling the shots on our health care. We want that being done by a physician-patient decision. And as a patient, you always have the right to get a second opinion about something and to make that decision about your body ultimately. But that's all being swept aside with this medical dictatorship. So he's now on suspension from the University of California, Irvine. He said, I had to stand up and I had to try to do something about it, the professor of psychiatry said about the ethics program. It's funny to me when I look at this, you know, does anybody call him a disgruntled employee? He was fired because he stood up to these lies. But whenever I criticize this, I'm a disgruntled employee, former employee. I was fired because I stood up against these lies. Whatever. Chiarity said that he had contracted this, and his infection was confirmed by two different tests from two independent labs. His five children and wife also contracted the disease. By the way, they all recovered. Nobody needed any hospitalization. It wasn't a big deal. And it hasn't been a big deal until the vaccines began. It really hasn't. We've had a lot of malpractice. We've had a lot of people that were given dangerous, ineffective drugs like remdesivir. We had a lot of people who were isolated from their family, who were set over on the side to get worse and worse and worse and not treated. They were given maltreatment. They were put on these ventilators, intubated on these ventilators. That killed many of them along with the other drugs. But basically, they were just denied treatment. They were denied visitors. It was financially incentivized medical malpractice. He said, it was for me actually a very liberating experience after he had it and recovered. He said, because I didn't have to worry about it anymore. I knew the science on natural immunity, Cariotti said. I knew that at that point I was among the safest people to be around. He continued taking precautions. He wore personal protective equipment. He didn't feel like he needed to, but he did it. He didn't feel like he posed a risk to other people. And, you know, why? Why? Because if you have immunity to something, then your natural immunity is going to persist, right? And so it's going to keep your body from reaching a particular viral load, which is what's going to make you sick, and that viral load is what's going to allow you to transmit it to other people. That's why when we see the transmission from the vaccinated being the same as it is from the unvaccinated, what that is telling you is that the vaccine is doing nothing. If the vaccine was doing something, then they would not be transmitting it at the same rate as the unvaccinated. But they are transmitting it at the same rate as the unvaccinated, as Rochelle Walensky at the CDC and many others have said. Therefore, that means that it's not producing any immunity. So the fact that the vexed people are still passing this on, that means that they don't have any immunity. And that means that you're not going to get herd immunity either. As I've said many times, herd immunity was a concept that was essentially a restating of Farr's Law going back to 1840, the bell-shaped curve that we were supposed to be flattening with a lockdown for 2 weeks. And what herd immunity, when they started talking about that, there were no mass vaccination programs at all. It was a very early part of the 20th century. And for there to be herd immunity, you have to have immunity, and it has to be persistent. And so if you don't have persistent, lasting immunity, as you don't, herd immunity makes no sense. And they're not even pretending that it does anymore. And they don't have an arbitrary, capriciously assigned percentage of people who have to get vaccinated for this herd immunity. They're just throwing that to the wind and saying, now everybody's got to get it. So when you ignore the individual, when you ignore real immunity, when you ignore natural immunity, this is where we are right now. University officials cited the FDA, which alleges that the antibody tests that is authorized are not validated. So they're saying, you know, he says, well, why can't I just take an antibody test? I've had this. I had, as a matter of fact, two different tests from two independent labs saying that I had this. Why won't you recognize any of this? And again, you know, when we look at these antibody tests, notice that the FDA says that the antibody tests that it is authorized are not validated. The PCR tests are not validated in the sense that they've got 59 of them and they can't compare them to each other because they're all testing for something different. And these antibody tests are not validated, says the FDA, and they're not being applied in large numbers. And I gave you the Washington Post article last week, which was essentially set up to attack natural immunity. But as part of that, as they attacked the antibody tests, the serology tests, they said, well, you know, we don't really have a good test for this. And so if you want to know if somebody's got, it's just that simple. They've got the antibodies to stop it if they had it and then recovered. It's just that simple. You don't need the tests. You don't need the rest of the stuff. And if you have natural immunity, your body remembers that. The mandate violated rights outlined in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment, he said, including equal protection and substantive due process. That's in his lawsuit. Plaintiffs naturally immune to the natural immunity to the SARS-CoV. Therefore, the plaintiff is at least as equally situated as those who are fully vaccinated with a COVID vaccine in the lawsuit. So 90% of Germans are saying they will not get vexed. And that applies not just to 2, but to 3, to 4 as they move this up. So the unvexed are not going to get vexed. American Airlines has now had to cancel 1,500 flights. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And you know what else is familiar? Just like Southwest Airlines, they're blaming it on the weather. I mean, all these people, isn't it amazing? This whole climate change alarmism. Well, you know, we need to take everything from you, make sure that you own nothing and you go nowhere and you have no job and we'll put you on a handout or whatever. But, you know, it's because of climate. And now as they push these mandates out and Southwest Airlines was canceling thousands of flights and they said it was the weather or one particular Jacksonville air traffic control. And it's like, well, why didn't it affect any of the other airlines? Obviously, that's you're lying to us, obviously. Now, American is still doing the same thing. Isn't it amazing? After everybody laughed Southwest Airlines to shame for telling everybody that it was the weather. Now American Airlines is doing the same thing. The spokesman said that the problems are not related to the company's vaccine mandate. Not at all. It's weather. Weather was the catalyst. Yeah. So maybe they do have a real climate change happening here. So we've got a mandate front that's moving in from the District of Columbia. So you got this mandate front that's moving in, and it is hitting a hot mass of resistance from the Spartacus people. And where those two fronts are coming together, you wind up with a scattered smiting of corporations. That's really what is happening here. Fair phrase, George Carlin's hippy-dippy weatherman. Mother Nature generates a storm. And management's failure to properly schedule creates storms days after, he said. See, that's it. You know, it's all in response to, and it didn't affect anybody but them. Yeah, since when have you ever seen weather cause problems for just one airline and to cause thousands of flights to be shut down on just one airline? Never. This is a letter from a listener in New Caledonia, French Pacific. He says the December 31st deadline here for compulsory genetic injections was brought forward in September to today, the 31st of October. But multiple marches, strikes, and roadblocks struck fear in the politicians' hearts, and they've now gone back to the original year-end deadline. So they had it for December 31st. They moved it up to October 31st, but because of, you know, the Spartacus resistance, they have now moved it back to December 31st. He says, we got a 2-month reprieve, and we're grateful to the Lord for that, of course, not just for that, but also that popular pressure has prevailed. So he says, thank you to all the listeners and for the viewers' prayers, because I had mentioned in the last letter from this listener that they asked for prayer for their situation there. Obviously, we're praying that similar or even greater pressure will be brought to bear in December that will once again force the hand of our power-crazed rulers, and that the people would not be the private army of madmen, to put it in the phrase of that Australian police officer. Anyway, he says, if they defy the people, however, I thank God that a little side business that I run from home has suddenly become more lucrative, and it seems as though, for my wife and I at least, It will provide us with an alternative income. One advantage, and this is interesting, one advantage of living on a small island is that news is hard to suppress because of a phenomenon known locally as coconut radio. Everyone has a friend at the hospital who tells them about the statistical fraud, or they have a cousin who suffered an adverse reaction after the shot, or they have a neighbor who died hours after being vaccinated, or they have a double vaccinated uncle who then caught COVID. They tell everybody on the Bush Telegraph that is now turbocharged by social media. Adding to that, we have persecuted heroic doctors like a Dr. Chazel and other practitioners who have formed a whistleblowing association that advocates for ivermectin and other early treatment. Vilified by the press, they're a lot harder to silence here because of the small population and because of coconut radio. So, very, very important. And then he puts in as a PS, he says, by the way, I was watching a video, an old video by David Pawson, who I don't know, on Revelation today. He reminded the audience that the Jews were used as scapegoats during the Black Death because they were less affected by it due to their compliance with hygiene requirements of Mosaic law. He then said it would be Christians who would be the end-time scapegoats. Yeah, Nero, Joe Nero, is burning down society, and it's all going to be the fault of the unvaccinated. You've already heard it from the fire chief in New York. You know, so the problem is these firemen won't get the jab, and they're not going to be here to fight the fires. It's their fault. Their fault. This is from a pastor who was blocked trying to get into a nursing home. He said, I went to visit a longtime friend of mine. I was greeted by a zombie employee who told me they have no visits due to one person testing positive for a strain of COVID, so they're closing all visits over the entire nursing home. I told the lady at the window I knew they would say that, which is why I contacted a lawyer before I came out. I told her, this is a clergy visit. I showed my clergy identification, and I told her my lawyer has said that it is illegal to deny a clergy visit for any reason. The lady panicked and said that she was just an employee and called the director. When the director came out, she said, I need to get COVID tested. I said, no, I do not. You're not going to shove a 10-foot Q-tip up my nose or give me a test. I'm here to test you to see if you're going to deny this clergy visit and to deny your resident his right to a clergy visit. I just need your name and the name of the person denying the clergy visit so I can go ahead and forward that to my lawyer's law firm. I also told her it is proven that those tests are not reliable. I was calm but firm in my tone. I saw a look of fear on her face, and she said, never mind the test. You're welcome to visit him. I said, you're a smart lady with a huge smile on my face, and she said, I'm just doing my job. The Nuremberg response, right? And he says this. He says, people who say I'm just doing my job, that's code for saying, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm hiding behind my job. Long story short, we're called by God in his word to visit the sick and to pray for them. And that is what I did. Praise Jesus. Good for him. That's Pastor Joseph Collini, Strongville Christian Church in Strongville, Ohio. Good for him. I've told the story before about when I was sick as a young child before I was even in school. And they thought, they misdiagnosed some ptomaine poisoning as viral meningitis. And so they put me on isolation. They wouldn't let even my parents in, but they let a pastor in. And as I've thought about that over the years, I thought, and I've talked about this multiple times throughout this lockdown, when you had the churches that were locking down. And I said, where are the real Christians? If you're a pastor, you're not afraid of a virus. Nobody wants to die. But you're not afraid of the virus because you've got a higher purpose in life. And that is true of Christians just going to church. I mean, you can make an argument, well, you know, if I go to church, I might die in a car accident. I've known people that's happened to. It's not a theoretical. But that doesn't mean that you just lock yourself away in your home and not live your life you are called to do certain things. And it's really, we're seeing a sorting out between the sheep and the goats now, aren't we? Who really believes what? And who is going to be the private army of a madman? Vaccination has no impact on household transmission, says a study from The Lancet. Now, this is like the American, the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, here in the United States. Lancet is the UK version of that. So it is the authority figure for all things medical. And they published a study, and it was reported by The Hill. According to the study published in The Lancet, infectious disease journal, people who have contracted COVID had a similar viral load. This is what I've been saying all through the program. A similar, there it is by the Daily Skeptic. That's a UK publication, dailyskeptic.org. So again, the same viral load. The CDC has said it. Lancet has said it. Everybody knows it. And so that means that there's no basis for discrimination. It also means that their vaccine doesn't do anything. Anyway. They found that 25%, I would just suggest that instead of saying to these people who are true believers in the religious rituals of the Trump juice, they're part of the Joe Town cult, if they believe in all that stuff, instead of directly challenging their religious beliefs, just point out to them the many studies that say that there's no difference. And you don't have to go the next step and say, therefore, that means that your vaccine is totally worthless. Just point out there's no difference. The study found that 25% of vaccinated households contacts contracted COVID, while 38% of unvaccinated individuals were diagnosed with the disease. But again, remember, unvaccinated means people who have been vaccinated. They could have had one dose, and they're waiting for the next one in 30 days, and so it is a month and a half after they've had their first dose, they're still unvaccinated. Researchers examined 621 symptomatic participants in the UK over a year. See, that's the key thing, symptomatic. There is no asymptomatic transmission. Said it's, our findings suggest, this is what The Lancet says, our findings suggest that vaccination is not sufficient to prevent transmission. There you go. End of story. For the medical purposes of this. So now it's not medical, it's political, it's economic. It's war against us. It's not medical. Fully vaccinated White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki tests positive for COVID. Yes, she has been fully vaccinated, and it is beyond 2 weeks since she's had her vaccine. And she's also, I love this picture, look at that picture. Zoom in on that, Travis. This is a Zero Hedge has got this. She's a double maxer. There she is, struggling to get two masks on her face or off of her face. She wears two masks. She gets double vexed, and then she gets it. So she said she did not go, didn't get to travel with President Biden. We're going to talk about that travel trip that he had. It was quite a boondoggle that he went on. But she didn't get a chance to go. And I mean, you know, they had 85 different cars that they flew out there, you know, and along with two beasts, you know, the gigantic, you know, bulletproof, bombproof car that the president's, they have two of them. Because it's not enough, you know, to put all of this protection on it. You got to have a decoy as well. This is how hated the American government has become when you have to have this type of situation. I mean, when I read the diary of a British officer who came to the U.S. during the Civil War, he was able to walk up to all of these governors from every state. He was able to walk into the camps of the Confederate and Union soldiers at a time of war. Just walk up, hey, how you doing? I'm Arthur Fremantle. I mean, today, we are so paranoid. And yet the people that he should be paranoid about, that's why he's not releasing the JFK tapes. He knows the real enemy ain't outside the beast. It's the real enemy that's right there in the car with him. Nevertheless, getting back to Jen Psaki, she opted not to go with Biden because she'd had a family member of her household test positive. And just like this statement from Lancet, maybe she should have read the Lancet, or somebody should have read it to her in a press conference, because now she is Exhibit A of what we were just told by the Lancet in the UK. That yes, if you got people in your household, even if you're double jabbed, even if you're double masked, you can still get it. She went on to say she has mild symptoms thanks to the vaccine. Well, let me just say, people of her age all had mild symptoms last year. Pretty much, no, statistically 100%. I mean, not every single person. But of course, we also did have a lot of medical malpractice involved with that. I just say from her age, she had no risk. And so she can be thankful that none of this is real. Meanwhile, we now have a second minion of the Biden administration. You know, first it was that Wally Adeyemo guy from Nigeria that is now the deputy treasury secretary. When this all ends, he said, is when everywhere in the world gets vaccinated. That's when it all ends. And now we got, surprise, surprise, Pete Buttigieg saying the same thing. This doesn't end until everybody gets vaccinated. It's almost like they're having meetings in the White House saying, you know, we've got one priority here. Doesn't matter what happens to the economy. It doesn't matter if the city's burned down or we got rampant crime in the street or the hospitals are closed or the middle class is ground into poverty. We got one objective here, and that is to get everybody vaccinated. And that's what Pete Buttigieg is saying. He said, look, there are so many things that are still happening in our economy. Distortions, disruptions, things in our supply chain that are affecting prices that are clearly a direct consequence of the pandemic. The best thing we could do for the economy is to put the pandemic behind us by getting more people vaccinated. He said, if we really want to see all of these disruptions end, we've got to end the pandemic, and that's what getting everybody vaccinated is all about. I'm really tempted to play this Fauci thing again, but I won't play it just right now. Where he said, you know, how do we get past this thing where we got to wait 10 years before we start making billions of dollars off a product? Well, we just get rid of the testing. Well, how do we go to a testing situation, said the other guy. How do we go to a situation where we just say, well, you've all just got to get this vaccine. It hasn't been tested, but we want everybody in the world to take it. And again, this was October 2019. Fauci says, well, we got to do it from the inside. And we got to do it with disruptions and with incrementalism, right? And so that's exactly what they're doing. So that was in October. And as I began the program, I told you that in December of 2019, they subtly made a change on page 565 of a 700-plus page government funding thing. They went in and declared that something that is a synthesized polypeptide, which is a scientific way of saying mRNA, is we're going to remove that. That was excluded from the definition of vaccine. So now we're going to remove that exclusion. I mean, you talk about being underhanded. You talk about doing something from the inside. From the inside, disruptively, incrementally, yeah, it began that way. And that was before anything was happening. There weren't even any rumors in December of that. I know because Karen and I were traveling, and in December when they did that, nobody was talking about anything coming from China at that point in time. As a matter of fact, we got sick. We hung out. We had a layover. And we were flying back from Florida, and we had a very long layover, and we just happened to sit next to a guy, and he started talking, and he had been in China for quite a while, and he came back. He didn't know anything about it either. We talked to him for a very long time, and then we both got very sick, really sick, the middle of December. So, you know, that was 2019, not December 2020. So back in December 2019, that wasn't on anybody's radar, even the people who were in China. And yet, Fauci and his people were burying in a page 550 of a 700-page bill. They bury in a change of mRNA to make it a vaccine. So yeah, now they're holding entire countries hostage to the vax, just as Pfizer did at the very beginning in Latin America. Governor Kristi Noem has engaged in, I think, some reprehensible misdirection of virtue signaling. The headline that is coming from Epoch Times, or Epoch, I don't know how they pronounce it, but they're cheering her on. And they're saying South Dakota Governor Noem signs an order to protect state employees from Biden's vaccine mandate. It does nothing of the sort. She's claiming that it does, but you can't trust her. Let me show you why. She signed this order. She said that it will protect state employees against Biden's vaccine mandate. So first of all, we see that she's doing the same type of thing that KIV, and we should spell that KIV as in intravenous, right? KIV, the governor of Alabama, did. Both of them said, well, we're not going to have state agencies require this of their employees. But they're not doing anything about the corporate mandate. And it was always the plan. New England Journal of Medicine was saying this from the very beginning. We don't want to mandate this through the government. We want to do it through corporate coercion so people don't have the ability to fight this with due process. And so both Kay Ivey and Kristi Noem are saying that they're protecting people, but their restrictions against these mandates only apply to state agencies. And then it gets even worse for Kristi Noem, because her spokesman pointed out that her exemptions are explicit and they offer a clear path for state workers to opt out of the shots. Now, she's not really saying you're not going to mandate this. She's saying it can be mandated, but we're going to let you have religious and medical exemptions. Well, there's, you know, the plan, even from Biden, does not initially take away medical and religious exemptions. The idea being that you could get an exemption and then they're going to bully you out of the company. But she's not doing anything for the people who work for the government other than saying, we're going to protect your right to file a medical or religious exemption. In a press release from Kristi Noem's office, the governor said that employees who wish to receive a medical exemption from the vaccine mandate need a note from the doctor stating that the COVID vaccination is too risky for health reasons. And she said that if they object to the vaccine on religious grounds, including moral, ethical, or philosophical beliefs or principles, then they will recognize that as well. That's what was already in the order from Biden. They pretended to recognize medical and religious exemptions. So Kristi Noem is doing nothing other than virtue signaling to get headlines. I mean, she's turning into one of the biggest deceivers I've seen out there. I mean, she said and did some good things in terms of not cowering down to the press about the big motorcycle rally that happened in Sturgis and so forth, but she has really been a two-faced deceiver. Due to established precedent, this executive order does not apply to service members with the South Dakota National Guard who must meet federal readiness responsibilities for their deployment. See, she's not going to do anything to even protect the South Dakota National Guard. She's not going to do anything to tell them, stand down, you're not going to mandate this to anybody. She's not doing anything at all like what DeSantis did in terms of the vaccine mandates. She's repeatedly said that private businesses should offer medical and religious exemptions for the COVID vaccine mandates. And she says, I will stand up to defend freedom, but she isn't. She isn't. She's doing nothing. In New Jersey, you now have one of the first places, at least the first one in New Jersey, University Hospital in Newark, first in the state to implement a COVID-19 vaccine booster mandate. There it goes. We knew it was happening. Knew exactly what's happening. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and take a look at the climate cop-out that Biden was involved in. We're going to take a quick look at the Tiki election that's happening in Virginia, the little false flag that was a part of that. And we're also going to take a look at some of the Halloween news that happened over the weekend. We'll be right back.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Past to track and control us. their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing, and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars,
let's go,
and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and rollers have been.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
Yeah, and if you like the Cars, we're going to have some not too good news for you coming up with the climate thing. But of course, if you're president, car is not a problem for you. I mean, you can take an entourage of 85 cars. You know, who cares if you're president, right? But let's take a quick look at the Tiki election that's happening. You know, the Tiki Club. They've loved what Babylon Bee did with this. A KKK member posing beside a Glenn Youngkin bus, Youngkin's bus, turns out to be Ralph Northam. They always have a great take on this stuff. We racists love Glenn. Vote for Glenn. We're not associated with the Democratic Party whatsoever, despite the white robe and the hood. Go Republicans. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Of course, that would be even more fitting because the Ku Klux Klan was always a Democrat Party organization. But I'm sure you've seen this pathetic little thing where they had a few people. I think it's one female and a bunch of males. And they wore white shirts and khaki pants and a cap. And they stood next to the Glenn Youngkin bus holding tiki torches, which I guess is supposed to refer back to Charleston or something. And it's so pathetic. Democrats are criticizing it. And as Breitbart points out, this could actually backfire and hurt Terry McAuliffe tomorrow. The Lincoln Project was behind it, and the hoax has prompted concerns, says Newsweek. They're concerned that it might hurt their candidate. Former senior advisor to Democrat primary candidate Pete Buttigieg, her name is Liz Smith, tweeted out, "The hoax was a massive screw-up, and it could derail the McAuliffe campaign." Well, you think so? Let's hope so. Democrats caught staging a false flag white supremacy hoax to interfere in Virginia elections was a headline that Information Liberation had. And in it, it shows how easy it was to identify these five people who were standing there. And they're standing there chanting, "We're all in for Glenn. We're in for Glenn." And so he's got an Information Liberation. You can see the social media profiles of each and every one of these people showing how they are devoted followers of Terry McAuliffe and all things Democrat. And so that blew up in their face immediately. It's not very hard to figure this out. So here they are standing in front of the bus that said, and the Christina Freundlich and Jen Goodman and many of these. When you look at what these people are doing, it was, again, another pathetic display of the Lincoln Project, perhaps one of the Republicans' unintended great allies in the things that they do. Terry McAuliffe on Sunday with Meet the Press as National Review's Town Hall pointed out, he lied his way through it. One of the first answers that he gave, he talked up the, quote, great school system in Virginia. He said he and his wife have raised four children. But here's the reality. He put four of his five children through private school, where he gets to make a statement and a choice about what is actually being taught. He not only doubled down on this, but he says, I don't think that parents should be telling schools what they should teach. We've played that for you, that clip, many times, and that's been one of the key things that's happened. And, of course, the Republican opponent, and he's from everybody that I know in Virginia, they say, yeah, he's just an establishment Republican. But Terry McAuliffe has been established as a Clinton Democrat, and he is a very dangerous individual. Let's just hope that people don't go to sleep with an establishment Republican in office. But again, that's not clear. Even if he were to win the election, we know how the elections are being run now, right? So McAuliffe said, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. He had a series of bills, as they pointed out. He vetoed six bills on education. One of them was House Bill 2191, which would require schools to notify parents if their child is enrolled in a course in which the instructional materials or related academic activities include sexually explicit content or the potential for sexually explicit content. I just have to say, why are schools doing this? I mean, we're talking about everybody in these K through 12 schools, for the most part, are minors. Why are you doing this? Well, for the same reasons we pointed out last week. You've got a school board member down in Broward County taking kids around 10 years old on a field trip to a gay bar. Again, why would you take kids at 10 years old to any bar? How is that even remotely legal? And they're not supposed to even be there. I know when I've mentioned before that when we drove out to Disneyland from Florida, we drove through Vegas, and it was a curiosity for my family to see what it looked like. And I remember going into one of the casinos. I remember my dad pointing out, because at the time it wasn't like it is today, where everybody dresses grunge. Doesn't matter, you know, everybody dresses that way. But you could go in and you could watch these people, and you kind of tell from the way they were dressed that they were not excelling economically. Let's just put it that way. And yet they were busy pouring quarters in. We stood on the sideline, and my dad said, look at this building here. Look at how posh this is, and look at how poor those people are, and they're pouring their money into that thing. And I did the same thing with my kids. And when we did that, you know, if you come in with kids, because they mix these casinos up with a lot of other, you have to walk around the periphery. You can't even go in there. How in the world does this lady, this school board member, take these kids into a bar? I just don't understand it. And so Terry McAuliffe thinks that it's wrong that parents should have to be notified if the school is going to teach your child sexually explicit content. In other words, he thinks that they should be able to teach your child sexually explicit content without notifying you. He vetoed that bill so that they could do that. And I look at this and I say, well, why in the world would schools be allowed to teach that to any kids? Any kids? I just don't understand. But you have to understand the purpose of the schools is not to educate. The purpose of the school is to indoctrinate. And a big part of that indoctrination is to have us live in the kind of society that Aldous Huxley described in Brave New World, where the kids are completely, thoroughly sexualized and then given drugs to drop out so they're not a problem to the system. That's exactly what they are implementing. When you look at 1984, and everybody understands how horrific that is, and you know, this is supposed to be a warning, not a manual. Well, when you look at schools, you need to understand that the schools are really following the manual of Brave New World. So anyway, he was asked in this appearance on Chuck Todd asked him on the Sunday News show yesterday, do you feel as if everything you said there should reassure parents that they have some say in their kids' schooling? And he didn't answer that. And then he went on to tell a whole series of lies about COVID, not just in that appearance, but going back over the last month, these have been put together by a Washington Post fact checker. So the Washington Post is actually fact checking what Terry McAuliffe has said in the last month about COVID lies. Just this week, here's one of them. Just this week, 8,000 cases on Monday in Virginia. We in Virginia today have 1,142 children in ICU beds. That's a total lie. He said that on October the 7th. 6 days later, he repeated that. He said, we have 1,100 children in hospitals here in Virginia. He didn't say in ICU. And, of course, maybe he could argue that maybe there are 1,100 kids in hospitals, not necessarily in ICU and not necessarily with COVID, right? They're in hospitals, though. I don't know. Maybe that's how he wiggles out of it. Then on October the 21st, another week later, we just had 4,000 cases yesterday here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We have just 1,142 children in serious and hospitals and ICU beds. Well, the good news is that in 2 weeks, all those kids who are in ICU are still alive, evidently, because he's still using that number. But, of course, it's a lie. The Washington Post, again, calling him out on this. Finally, October 23rd, 2 days after that, last one, he said, here in Virginia, you should understand 1,142 of our children have been in hospitals because they got COVID. But when we look at all of this and we look at this absurd, you know, Clinton, crony, corrupt, power-grabbing, he wants to shut down the Second Amendment, he wants to lock them down good and hard in Virginia. But when you look at this guy, just understand that it's not who votes that counts, but it's who counts the votes. And we've got in Fairfax County in Virginia, you've got Fairfax County not requiring the last four digits of a Social Security number on absentee ballots. In other words, they're not going to do anything to protect. These are absentee ballots. These are mail-in. And you don't even have to have any kind of remote identifier for who is involved in that in order to vote. No identification whatsoever. So it looks like it's going to be more of the same. Crooked election, crooked counting. Let's take a look at what is happening with climate change, with the COP conference that happened, as I say. You have Biden blasted for what he did, making a 10,000-mile return trip on Air Force One for a climate change summit. And this is a very slow-moving 85-car motorcade in Rome. Here's what it looks like when they speed it up with time-lapse photography so you can see all of the cars. Now, it would be kind of interesting if they drove through there at that speed. But he's terrorizing people, not with 85 cars driving at about 120 through the, the city of Rome. He's terrifying people by saying he's going to take away their cars completely. Biden's 10,000-mile trip on Air Force One to Europe includes a 92-mile motorcade tour in Scotland. Air Force One and the four large jets that accompany it will generate an estimated 2.16 million pounds of, wait for it, carbon. Carbon, you know the carbon thing that they're so worried about? Carbon things, you got to have net zero. Carbon. During his five-day trip, 2.2 million pounds of carbon. The motorcade is centered around the president's armored limousine, the Beast. Wait a minute. This guy has mandated some Trump shots. And you have to have these shots. You have to have these shots to buy, sell, or trade, or anything. Is it the Beast or what? I mean, that is... I tell you, Nigel, do you think we're the bad guys in all of this? Do you think we're the Beast? I mean, we're calling the car that this guy is driving around, we're calling it the Beast, and he's mandating everybody get it in order to buy and sell. I don't know. Nothing to see here, I'm sure. the Beast. And its decoy Beast, which sports a 5-liter diesel engine. And they both get about 8 miles per gallon. So each of them generates 10 times the amount of emissions as the average car. So it isn't, you know, it isn't just the fuel economy, the lack of fuel economy. It's the fact they're very, very dirty too. Yeah, because, I mean, if it was just simply based on the fuel economy and not the quality of the exhaust coming out, they'd be comparing it to cars that get on average 80 miles per gallon. And that's not the case. So this is quite a bit dirtier in terms of the way it burns the fuel, and it burns a lot more of it. The Beast, by the way, this guy who is average of 54 pounds of carbon per mile flown for the jets that flew him there. An average American would generate 0.365 pounds of carbon if they flew a similar distance. All right. And so there he's doing about 150, 160 times what you would be generating. You know, with his flying entourage of Air Force One and the accompanying jets, they do 150 times what you would use on a flight. But so you need to stop flying. He doesn't need to stop. You got to stop. Just under 10,000 miles on a regularly scheduled flight. The motorcade was 85 cars long. And this motorcade of 85 cars, the reason they did this was because of Italian COVID rules, they say. The Italian COVID rules only allow 3 non-cohabitating people, including the driver, per vehicle. So because they could only have 3 people per car, they had to get 85 cars. Because, you know, you have to have about 250 people whenever the president goes anywhere. That's just a given. I mean, who would go anywhere without an entourage of 250 people? And the Beast... The Beast. I don't know. Are they talking about Biden or are they talking about his car here? It's hard to. It was. He was escorted by Chevy Suburban SUVs, which are using a bit more fuel than the typical Suburban because they have other protection on them. And the famously thirsty Alfa Romeo cars driven by the Italian police. So altogether, it would have generated about 73.5 pounds of carbon per mile driven. Daily Mail has got a great chart of the president's carbon-burning schedule. On Thursday, he flew from Joint Base Andrews to Rome. And then on Friday, he does his 85-car motorcade. Then on Sunday, he flies an Air Force One to Scotland. And then on Sunday, he goes from Glasgow to Edinburgh, where he's staying, with the Beast and the motorcade. And then finally on Tuesday, tomorrow, he will depart Scotland and return home. So I'm afraid he's going to come back home. Many people mocked what he had to say, including frequent guest Steve Malloy. He said, oh, just a vanity visit, right? Very green, isn't it? Another commentator said, remember, folks, said Darren Grimes. He said, you have to stop driving your car. You must stop flying abroad and domestically, too, if they get their way. You must stop eating meat. You must stop using a gas boiler. You must immiserate your life in the name of saving the planet. But, you know, not him. Not him. The private jets, by the way, as I point out, just the private jets emit more CO2 than the people of Scotland churn out in a year, just so he could visit Scotland. The G20 members have committed to carbon neutrality by or around mid-century. And oh, by the way, you know, I was talking about this with my son. He said, why don't they just do Zoom? Instead of zooming around on Air Force One, instead of taking the Beast and all these cars everywhere with them, 85 different cars, they could just do a Zoom conference, you know, if they really believe this stuff, couldn't they? So no, they're going to starve us. This carbon neutrality thing they're talking about, by mid-century, no, they're going to keep moving that forward. It'll be 2030. They want to starve us of energy. They want to starve us of food. Because, you know, if you starve people of energy, that keeps them from being able to grow food. It keeps them from being able to deliver food. See, energy is not simply about your lifestyle and making sure that you can't go to Europe for vacation like Biden. No, it's not simply about lifestyle. It's about life expectancy. And that's what they want to get rid of. They've been very clear about that. And I mean, look at Bill Gates, you know, presentation he gave. He said, well, we got to get down to zero. Now we got all these different factors. We got the people, we got how much energy they're using and the things that they're eating. What do? Well, we got to get one of these factors down to zero. what does that mean? Well, it means we're going to kill people. That's what this is about. This is ultimately about depopulation. It's about depopulation by killing people or depopulation by sterilizing people with the chemicals, with the other things that they're doing, and they're having a lot of success with that so far. So Boris Johnson claims that modern civilization is at risk over climate change. For the first time, he's telling you the truth, but not in the way that he is telling you the truth, but he's got a spin on it. Not the way that he is indicating here. He goes on to say that the ruins of Rome are a fantastic reminder to us today that humanity, civilization, society can go backwards as well as forwards. And when things start to go wrong, they can go wrong with extraordinary speed, right? As in warp speed. You know, when things go wrong, they can go wrong at warp speed, or maybe with warp speed. And they can use something like warp speed to dismantle society and civilization. At the Glasgow meeting, they announced that Britain has homed in on, and they've got a mantra, they've got a little catchphrase, a slogan: coal, cars, cash, and trees. They couldn't come up with a C for the trees. No, what they're talking about is cold cash. They're not talking about coal that you burn to keep warm or to generate electricity. They're talking about cold cash. And that tree is a money tree. It's a magic money tree. We just print the money up and hand it out to ourselves and to our friends. And we're all seeing green. We're all seeing those green dollar bills. And so they explain this and they say, well, you know, when we talk about coal, cars, cash, and trees, we're talking about eliminating fossil fuels, switching to clean vehicles, spending money, and stopping deforestation. Oh, yeah, spending money. Well, they're good at that. I don't know they're going to do anything else. Well, they can stop us from having fuel. They can stop us from having cars. And they can spend money like there's no tomorrow. And there will be no tomorrow if we don't stop these guys. Prince Charles, by the way, is telling us this is our last chance. How many times have we had last chance? That reminds me of Last Chance Texaco. What was that singer that did that? Ricky Lee Jones, Last Chance Texaco. I should have played that today. No, the man who would be king after Elizabeth, if she is sick here, is saying it's, quote, the Last Chance Saloon. Not Last Chance Texaco. Last Chance Saloon to save the planet. And by the way, you know, his father was the one who said that, you know, not a Christian, he's a Buddhist or whatever. He says, yes, I want to be reincarnated as a virus so I can kill people. We got too many people here. Well, this is what these guys are all about. So Prince Charles appeared to gloat that after nearly 50 years of his climate and environmental alarmism, he says, I am at last sensing a changing of attitudes and a building up of positive momentum. Well, let's hope that there is a change of attitudes. Perhaps with Prince Charles there, we can have a change towards the monarchy that would go back to the first Charles, right? Who basically had his head lopped off by the people who were rising up against this imperial monarchy. Prince Charles urges radical rethinking of our societies. Yes, and the UN is, of course, as they're talking about climate, what is happening is China is just burning more and more dirty coal and very dirty power plants that they can make very, very cheaply. And they have absolutely no restrictions on what they do because of the Paris Climate Accord. It gives them and India the two biggest polluters. Why? Because they're allowed to build without limit any power plants and put no cleaning at all on them. And if this was a real global warming crisis, it would have to have a global solution. Instead, what it is about transferring wealth from America and from Europe to India and to China. As a matter of fact, we have a big U.S. coal company, the second largest U.S. coal company, Arch Resources, said that they have sold every lump of coal that they can get out of the ground for 2022. They're sold out next year. No more coal. So I guess you won't be getting any in your stocking. The company has sold next year's coal for over 20% over the current spot market as well. So they did it at a nice profit. The top U.S. coal miner, Peabody, so that's the second one. They've sold out for the next year. Number two has sold out for the next year, and they sold it at 20% over the current spot. The biggest coal miner has sold 90% of all of its coal for the year of 2022 and said, yeah, we're pretty much sold out and we've only got a small portion left to be sold for 2023 as well. So they're sold out for pretty much the next 2 years. See, the lockdown has really, they want to talk about fossil fuel, but the lockdown and the resulting drop in traffic and all these other things, that essentially proved that this energy use stuff is absolutely irrelevant for CO2. In the same way that we have people showing up by the thousands on a weekly basis with no COVID rituals at churches where the demographics are very old, it proves that none of that stuff worked. And when people are now showing up this year by the hundreds of thousands in sporting events with no masks and yelling and screaming and spitting or whatever, it shows that that doesn't make any difference for that. And so we also saw the last year that the lockdown that drastically cut energy prices so much as you saw a tremendous drop in the price of fuel and oil. Now that's going up. But you saw a big drop in that, but you didn't see any drop in CO2. And it's man-made stuff is not driving the CO2. Furthermore, CO2 is not driving a rise in temperature either. CO2 has gone up far more than the rise in temperature. All their models have been disproven. What it did prove to them last year, though, even though the science was disproven, what they have proven, just like they have with the medical lockdown, they have proven that they can do whatever they want and get away with it because we won't stand up to them. But I think that is changing right now. China's energy crisis has spread as the gas stations are running out of diesel. See, Biden wouldn't be able to drive his beast around, or the beast wouldn't be able to drive drive around in a car. Diesel and petrol cars are losing ground in the EU. So while the Chinese can't get the fuel to run the diesel cars, in the EU, they can't get the cars to run that run on diesel. Now, let's talk quickly about what happened over Halloween. We have another great satire piece here from the Babylon Bee. Terrifying new Halloween mask depicts a human face that is not wearing a mask. Got a picture of a young girl who's wearing a mask that looks like a picture of a young girl who has, there it is right there. Thank you, Travis. There's a young girl wearing a mask that shows an unmasked face. That is really scary. As they point out in Babylon Bee, move over zombies and werewolves. This mask is guaranteed to make anyone run away screaming. The new horrifying masks come in either boy or girl, and they show a smiling child's face completely uncovered by any sort of mask. I mean, look, even if it had a mask on, that would be enough to flip out the LGBT crowd, right? Because it's gender specific as well. The uncovered human face, smiling innocently, is sure to scare and to delight. Or if you really want to get people creeped out, what you do is you wear a Fauci mask, and that's guaranteed to scare babies and puppies. So the woke crowd had a long list, and I'm not going to go into it, of all the different costumes that had been canceled and how you're not supposed to wear pretty much anything. As a matter of fact, they say that Halloween is just an act of white privilege. As Babylon Bee pointed out, it is actually a good example of Satan's favorite holiday. A toddler with a full diaper and with incoherent speech goes as Joe Biden for Halloween on Satan's favorite holiday. And you know what this is referring to, right? The rumors that were going around about Joe Biden. It broke that Joe Biden was meeting with the Pope and they shut everything down and went private. And it's like, this is really, really strange. You know, what is going on? That's not something you kick out all the press and everything. And then they rumors started coming out of Rome that that Biden had a full diaper or something to the equivalent of that. And so that's what the Babylon Bee is picking up on. So a toddler goes, dresses as Joe Biden, wearing a full diaper and incoherent speech, babbling baby talk. And so it was actually trending, hashtag poopy pants Biden. And it's going in on this. The word in Rome was that Biden's meeting with the Pope was unusually long because he had a bit of a bathroom accident at the Vatican. There is no specific image or video suggesting that Biden pooped his pants. It's only speculation at this point. Many believe that Biden couldn't help himself during his meeting with Prime Minister Boris Johnson on September the 22nd. And the White House staff cut Johnson off mid-sentence and asked the news media to leave immediately. Why? I mean, is it a poopy diaper? Is it something worse than that? As a matter of fact, they had some fact checkers who looked into this. looked into it. They came back and said it was mostly false. Mostly false. So what do we make of that? Well, I guess we could say it depends. I don't know. And then you have Trump, who for Halloween, he decided that he would masquerade as one of us. He and Melania go to an Atlanta Braves game. And you've seen all the pictures of them doing a tomahawk chop, right? Chop, because, you know, they're one of us. Except it seems like I remember him last year. He was doing tomahawk chops to the middle class and a small business and to the Constitution. Yeah, that was what he was actually doing. He was doing a tomahawk chop to the testing procedures, just waving them on through. In terms of somebody actually embracing the true spirit of Satan's favorite holiday, we have a Tokyo subway attacker who put on a Joker costume. And again, you know, people who criticize Hollywood movies, they say, well, you know, that obviously that's not doing it because you don't have everybody, you know, putting on a Joker costume, stabbing people, spraying them with acid and setting the subway car on fire and then sitting there in his purple and green outfit smoking a cigar like the boss, right? So since everybody doesn't do that, that can't be what is really happening with this. Well, you know, it does portray something that is dark and evil, and people who are drawn to that type of thing, it helps to intensify that in them. That truly is what is happening. I think if we really wanted to scare these people, we would celebrate Reformation Day, because that's the last thing they want, is some kind of a reformation. We could, instead of nailing some religious theses to a door somewhere, we could nail some stuff that to a door that defines what Fauci has been. We could nail the Faucis, the Fauci documents to the door. One last thing before we close here, and that is the amazing move by Biden. You know, there's two types of people that Biden wants to support: border crossers and cross dressers. You know, he's done that from the very beginning of his administration. And now, if you are a border crosser, you know, we want to talk about financially incentivizing things, right? That's really the issue. And I said that as Trump was talking about his wall and everything. I said, just stop the financial incentivization of this. We've got people who are not illegal aliens. They're treasure hunters. And the financial incentivization is there from the Democrats in terms of welfare issues. and from Republicans offering them jobs because they want super cheap labor, both of them financially incentivizing it. And yet now what we're seeing is that Biden wants to, in a settlement, he has decided he's going to give $450,000 each to parents who had their kids taken away to analyze to see if they were actually being trafficked. At the same time, we've got the Biden administration literally trafficking kids. So, yeah, who wants to be a millionaire? Well, just, you know, come across the border as a treasure hunter. That should send a message that's going to slow this down, right?
The common man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.